Hello again, and welcome to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic. If the show notes are to be believed, this is episode 447 of Monday Night Magic.
Woo! I mean, would you predict it to be any other episode number? Like, possibly somebody could go in there and screw with the numbers, and actually there's this vast conspiracy behind the scenes of the show that people have actually been calculating since episode one. That happened to Blue's Clues. Like, that's a real thing.
No, I just can't remember if I changed it or not.
I don't remember being on this 446 times, so these numbers might be wrong.
Wait, could you go back to the Blue's Clues thing?
Okay, so there was actually a conspiracy. Like, you guys know that, I think it was Steve. Steve left the show, right?
Yeah, he had to take the bus, sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how you get home.
So when Steve left the show and Joe, the second guy, took over, like, there was a conspiracy theory out there that if you actually went and watched every single episode, there was hints about Steve leaving at some point. And there's like a whole wiki full of this crap if you go out there and look for it. But yes, that is a real thing.
Huh.
It wasn't true, but that's a real thing. Like, the whole conspiracy theory about Blue's Clues. The real reason Steve actually ended up leaving is he wanted to go do a horror movie. So there you go.
I believe it.
And now on to magic or introductions. Should we do introductions? I think that's how the show is actually.
Hi, Jack.
But I thought.
Hey.
I thought Steve went to college and Joe was his brother that looked nothing like him.
Yeah.
You think someone's letting Steve into college?
That is
Have
true.
Have you seen this guy?
Hey. Steve rides that bus every single day to college, and by gosh, he's doing something about his future, gentlemen. Hats off to Steve. We know you're on the bus right now. Keep going, man.
I think we're getting our Steves confused.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a whole Steve verse out there, apparently.
Anyway, so yes, I am Chewy. And I got nothing. And with me, as always, are these guys.
Because you certainly don't control the chaos, not this week.
Not this week.
Okay. So, Chewy, then we have Bill.
Hi.
And we have Clues.
Well, hello there, friends.
And you have me, Jack LaCroix, who's going to be here the entire episode. It's almost like some weird, extraneous circumstances brought me here tonight, isn't it?
We have his family.
Frosted butts.
After that.
I really don't like the segue between my family and frosted butts, but okay, let's just keep moving along.
All right, so news. Shut up, Clues.
I'm sorry.
So news: people played Magic this weekend, and it was good.
That's
now
it.
The weather.
That's the news, really. What are we? Welcome to Night Vale. Like. Hey guys, did you know aliens invaded the town? And now here's some synth techno pop to cool you over while we call it weather.
I believe what you're looking for is, which, if true, means death for us all. In other news.
Oh man. Or I could have gone Bill Hicks. No?
I'm not sure how happy that would have been as a monologue.
No,
Bill Hicks was always...
His famous thing is, today a young man on acid realized that all matter is merely energy condensed to a slow vibration, that we are all one consciousness experiencing itself subjectively, there is no such thing as death, life is only a dream, and we are the imagination of ourselves. Here's Tom with the weather.
I remember now.
Made more famous when Tool used it in one of their songs. But anyway, so yes, people played Magic, and we're going to start off with the one that... honestly, none of us knew what was going on. The Sunday Super Series Championship. Clues, what is the Sunday Super Series?
Yeah, you know, I didn't know that this was happening this weekend either, and I feel kind of bad for that. I'm not sure how I just missed the entire fact that this was happening. But, okay,
for starters,
so...
it wasn't on the Wizards calendar.
Yeah, and I checked that if I could find it. You know, when you go to a GP, this is for all you listeners out there who go to GPs, since, you know, these guys don't go to GPs much. You know, when you go to a GP and you've scrubbed out of day one and you decide, hey, you know, I'm going to do something on day two other than just, you know, random side events. Maybe there's something cool going on. And there's always the Sunday Super Series Standard and or the Sunday Super Series Sealed, which sometimes go like 10 rounds. These things are crazy big. And the winners from those will eventually go on to a tournament at Wizards of the Coast. This past weekend was that tournament at Wizards of the Coast, which is the Super Sunday Series Championship.
That almost feels like you're making an announcement for a wrestling match.
It kind of does.
the Super Sunday series with Gerard Fabiano and Patrick Chapin in an all-holds-barred Hell in a Cell match. Sunday!
Gerard Fabiano was not at this event because he's coming later in another event.
I get the feeling that Chapin wasn't either. Although, if I could pick two Magic players to go into each other in a cage, it actually would not be those two.
That would be like the worst card match mishap and mishap at freaking WrestleMania ever. Instead of these burly guys, two skinny nerds who can't fight their way out of a paper bag.
Yeah.
And like Chapin would be in there and he would come up with some kind of logical problem for Gerard Fabiano to solve, and they would just go in a big circle for an hour.
And then we'd let in the bear. Because that bear wants revenge for all that punching.
Hey, you know what's also really awesome? The Abzan aggro deck list that was at the Super Sunday series thing.
Was that a segue?
Jack is the worst at segues, so.
He's trying.
The Sunday Super, so hey Clues, do they still do that really bad idea where the top four from the sealed and the top four from the standard play in a top eight?
They did the last time I was directly involved in one of these. Lately I've been actually on the main event on day two, so I don't actually know. I'm sorry. But they were for a while, so yeah, it was really weird.
So I remember in Pittsburgh when I ran into, oh god, my brain just farted. Oh no, the guys from...
Oh yes?
Oh god, hey, I remember the name of their show!
Chewy.
Oh, what? Hi.
Chewy,
yeah.
If we all sit quietly while you Google it, truncate silence will just take it out and no one will ever know.
No, wait. I got it. It's D-Sale from... What the hell show is D-Sale on? I could see the logo, but I can't see the
name of the show.
That podcast, yes.
From the internet.
It's been so long since they did an episode that I can see their logo. It's the little skull. Anyway, I'm so
sorry.
Are you
talking about Scrubland?
Scrubland, thank you. God, that was killing me. So yeah, I bumped into D-Sale.
What would you guys do without me, huh?
I bumped into D-Sale in Pittsburgh, and he had finished in the top four of one of them, I think the standard, and he was sitting around miserable because the other one had delays of some sort. So he sat around for like 2 hours to do this top eight and was not happy because he had to drive back to wherever he came from that night. Yeah, it wasn't pretty, and it seemed like a really bad way. Hey, you won, you top eighted this tournament, or top four of this tournament, you were gonna do a cut to top eight, but you have to wait like 3 hours. Okay, bye. And I was like, this is bad. But anyway. So yes, there's that. But anyway, I don't know if they're still doing that. We'll just assume not because that's awful. But, so this is everyone who won.
I think we're gonna assume that they are doing that.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll assume that they are doing that and that they've gotten better about it because that was awful. So, long story short, what is this? Was this standard? I know nothing about this. I'm so sorry.
Well, I see a bunch of
chaos
cards. So it.
Oh.
Yeah, there we go. It was Commander. They all sat down and played an 8-man Commander draft.
Okay, look, you guys. I'm trying to be serious here. Since...
Yes.
Yeah. Since you either have to do Sealed or Standard to get into this, I was trying to figure out if it was all Standard or like half and half like a Pro Tour or something, but nobody wants to make jokes.
No, spoiler again, looking ahead at the top 5 cards, I'm pretty sure this was Standard.
Okay.
That's the only part we would talk about anyway.
Yeah.
So talk about Standard.
The winner of this whole mess, which, by the way, this takes place at the Wizards HQ. Like, you get to go to Wizards to if you make this championship, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's on their dime, too.
Yeah. So the winner of this was, no. Why am I... Scroll. Are you freaking... Oh, Jesus. Oh, wait, I have a mouse wheel. I mean, I have a mouse touchpad. Okay.
Quality audio excellence since 2008, people.
My mouse just decided it was done. I don't know if the battery died or what.
It's the finest audio since 2016.
Yes. Okay, so the winner of this
get there
was,
eventually.
Luis maybe Salvato of Argentina. So I'm gonna guess Luis. Luis Salvato of Argentina. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And his deck is...
He was running a red-white mid-range deck.
Yes.
Formerly known as Boros.
I don't see anything...
The Valorous Stance is the new card.
Yeah, there's an Outpost Siege in his board.
All right, so I'm going to try something new here. Okay. I don't know that we'll always do this, but I'm going to try something new for this time only. So, you can get a sample hand from his deck. So I'm not even going to talk about his deck list. So in the blind, all you know, dear listener, is that this is a red, white mid-range deck. Here are the cards in my sample opening hand. There's a Mountain, a Plains, Chandra Pyromaster, Stoke the Flames, Temple of Triumph, Goblin Rabble Master, and Valorious Stance. So, do you keep it or do you mull it?
I would keep it.
You play the crap out of that.
Oh, you keep that. You totally keep that. At least that's what I mean, said.
I would keep it both rounds. It would be great.
So, I got two Temple of Triumph and a Battlefield Forge, and then a Seeker of the Way, a Lightning Strike, a Chandra, and a Storm Breath Dragon.
I think I'd probably still keep that.
Yeah,
okay, well, what about Storm Breath Dragon, Temple of Triumph, Ash Cloud Phoenix, Chain to the Rocks, Seeker of the Way, Goblin Rubble, and Battlefield Forge?
Is that two lands?
It does have two lands.
But there ain't no mountain, though.
There ain't no mountain.
Bah.
Yeah, that Chain to the Rocks is kind of crappy.
I think I'd throw that back.
Yeah. Anyway.
Who am I kidding? I wouldn't get to play in this.
I was going to say, why are we doing this? No one cares what we would keep or not. So...
But yes, the new cards are the Valorous Stance instant, which is the one that makes a creature indestructible or kills something with toughness 4 or greater. So, good times.
Yeah. And like I said, he's got two Outpost Siege in his board, which is a trip.
Yep, that's the red one.
Yeah.
We will not read all the cards to you again, but that is the red Siege.
And that's pretty much it.
I love the Chandras. I really, really do.
Well, yeah, you have to, because you're clues.
Yes. I also like the Hordling Outbursts. Surprise, surprise.
Because they're adorable.
Because they're freakishly effective is more like it.
Yeah.
And adorable. Look at them. Oh.
They look like Keebler elves on Strake.
Yeah.
They do look kind of unionized.
I don't know that I want those cookies.
Well, you're getting them.
Let's see. So what did he beat? He beat Oscar Christensen, who was running... red green. Huh. Look at this deck.
I mean, honestly, this looks pretty typical of what we've seen over the last few months with the deck. It's just a natural evolution of it. You know, Sova Dragonclaw is an interesting inclusion, but it kind of, I don't know, like it strikes me as weird that card does, because even though it's exponentially stronger than it should be for the mana cost, I don't know that there's going to be enough times during game one that you're really going to activate that you'll care. Because what I'm looking at in the top eight here is there's a lot of highly effective smaller creatures. I figure the reason he actually included those was due to the Warden of the First Tree and the random Fleece Mane Lions that were running around in Rakasha Death Dealers, because those are real cards and they are very painful to fight against.
You know,
it
also takes your opponent's Storm Breath, right?
Yeah, and I mean, oh, hey, look at clues. Yeah, that's totally a good reason to include this guy. Never mind.
Well, it clears the path. If you take the rabble and you attack the rabble, you get a rabble. I mean, you know, it's fun all around. And the singletons become immense, and there makes it take whatever you want. So,
yeah. Plus, he's got good power on, so he can realistically take something big down as well, which is nice. Yeah.
I just like the idea of getting that stupid siege rhino out of the way. And then punching
absolutely.
Them with it. Everything just revolves around Siege Rhino in this,
you know, the ground dragon.
Yeah, in this format for me. Hopefully that'll change soon.
To be fair, Siege Rhino is probably one of the strongest junk creatures that's been printed since Kitchen Finks in its own context. It's an amazing card and it creates unstoppable distance.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, that coupled with Courser and other things makes it really difficult for kind of the lower curved aggro decks in the format to make a break, which is why I'm not surprised to see that the first place deck actually approached a mid-range approach more than anything else, because that's really the only way he could have combated the trump cards of Siege Rhino and the other assorted baddies like Anenza that's in here as well.
Strangely enough, there were only two decks running Siege Rhinos.
Yeah, the one that actually interested me the most here, and I'm going into this needing an explanation, and if it's just Jeskai Ascendancy, please somebody say immediately, and I'm going to butcher the crap out of this dude's name.
Is this Jeremy Ross Latour?
Thank you, Chewy. Thank you so much. You saved me from so much embarrassment.
Or
okay,
maybe
so,
it's Jeremy. It looks kind of French.
Well, okay, so I get that Jeskai Ascendancy, Briber's Curse, and Retraction Helix all work together to make your dudes really big, and then you swing.
Right.
But, how do you, like, there's things in here like Kiora's follower that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Can somebody please explain this to me?
It's for, you need the ability to untap your land.
Okay.
That's its main job. It's just for
ramping.
Does it?
Okay, that's what I figured. So you just make your dudes really big and dig for combo pieces and then kill them?
Generally you set up your combo, obviously, and then your guys are arbitrarily huge. And at the end of it, you can retraction helix away any potential blocker and then just wreck face.
Oh, okay, yeah, Ben. That's interesting. That's about where I thought it was going. This combo is a lot less interesting than the one that placed in the Star City event we'll get to later.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that'll be more fun to talk about.
So yeah, that the deck that he was talking about is the third place Jeskai Ascendancy deck. Fourth place Dominic Prosek is playing some black green
value whip.
Thank you, that's the word. Well, that isn't quite the word, but whip, yes. Did you say value whip?
Yep.
Okay. It's like constellation whip, but not really. Kind of
well,
both.
I mean, it's like you don't have Sidisi, and we have to call it Whip something, so it's like the value Whip, because all the creatures in it that aren't ramped do something amazing when you whip them in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Hornet Queen.
Okay, now this trips me out.
A bad taste in my mouth.
Fifth place is Chas Hinkle, and the card that it, the card image that it defaults to for me is Warden of the First Tree.
Same.
And I was like, hey, look, somebody actually played that crap. And he's
That's
going to
be a recurring theme.
Yeah, like, the card is not exactly terrible, Chewy. I mean, he has a lot of really good value cards here, but Warden of the First Tree is actually kind of valuable for triggering Heir of the Wilds for very little mana, and then it also becomes a serious threat later in the game. So, I mean, it's not that terrible.
But it doesn't trigger Heir of the Wilds until the end of the game.
Shh, Chewy, I made a point. Let me keep it. It's mine.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, thank you.
I just don't understand why you'd want to pay 3 mana for a 3/3 and then later give it trample and lifelink without it getting any bigger. It's just, it doesn't seem like a good place to put all that mana unless you're just planning on having leftover mana every turn forever.
Which doesn't seem very likely because this guy curves out really nicely with what he's got. The thing that kind of confuses me more, honestly, is Herald of Torment. I mean, I could see it being a great creature to bestow upon, you know, with something, but at the same time, like, I don't like that card very much.
I think both of those cards are there as board stall breakers.
Okay.
Because Herald of Torment will give one of your guys flying, which will get past, like, the Abzan mirrors pretty well. Because, like, yeah, I mean, there'll be some Wingmate rocks to block, but you'll just chew through them pretty quick. I think the Warden of the First Tree right here, it's probably just an instance of here's somewhere that you can just dump a mana if you get to the point where you're ever off curve. It's kind of awkward because you really want him on an early turn, and since some of your land come in tapped, you know, you might get the awkward thing where your first two lands come in tapped and you still want to do something on turn two. But only running the one of them, you're not always going to have that either.
That makes sense. So then next place, which, let's see, the 5-6 place is Gautier Lamb playing a more different Abzan deck, but not really more different. It's just different. This is actually a pretty standard, slightly more aggressive because it has Anafenza and the Flea's Mane Lion and the Death Dealer. So it's hitting you earlier.
I mean, it's just got that curve out of Flea's Mane into Anafenza into Siege Rhino into Wingmate Rock. And then after that, if anyone's still around, do a little dance.
Make a bigger, little mana.
Like, just make a bigger Flea's Mane Lion or something. I don't know. Monstrosity. I mean, it looks very streamlined. Like, it does exactly what it wants to do, and it has just enough removal to, you know, adapt as it needs to.
Yeah. And then seventh is... Oh, Lord. How am I going to pronounce this?
Hold on. You saved me. I'll save you. Who, Kamuya Kaye?
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Kamui
okay.
Kaye?
Kamui
Kaye? Kamui Kaye?
Sure. He's playing another more different Abzan deck.
Such versatile numbers to go with the same cards. That's Abzan in a nutshell, though. I mean, there are a few differences, but Abzan's strength is that all of its cards are good, so you can sort of take the same deck, tweak the numbers to what you have slash want to play, and still have pretty much the same mana base.
Pretty much.
Got the double Urborg, because he's a risk taker.
And then eighth place is Matthew Costa playing a... This one has Sidisi, so this is a Sidisi whip. And he's also running Tassigar, the Golden Fang.
Yeah, he's getting around a bit.
Which is nice.
He's really good at enabling those graveyard shenanigans and then taking advantage of them.
It is very true.
I mean, I like him in a whip deck in general because all the cards that you want to use to feed your graveyard, he's one that feeds your graveyard while doing other stuff. And on the same note, he'll occasionally just give you that fun moment where you hand over your three awesome creatures to your opponent and they can choose the form of the Destructor. Because they're either giving you an amazing creature or a Thoughtseize if they're lucky, or a removal spell.
Oh.
I guess they could give you another whip, but I mean, sure. Doesn't happen that often.
He's also running one Torrent Elemental, which I find terrifying.
Oh, those are scary. That's just like your Ender right there. You whip that out, you attack, they're dead.
Oh, because the whip exiles, doesn't it?
Yeah, so you get another one.
Oh, that's awful.
You Torrent Elemental, clear the path, do some damage. If they deal with it, you dig it back out, clear the path, do some damage. They deal with it twice, well, here it comes again. And the cycle continues.
Would you call it a Torrent of Despair?
I would be very sad if it happened to me.
Aww.
Oh, so you'd be caught in a Torrent of Emotion? I can keep going. I can keep going.
Please don't, though. So that's the top eight. Do we want to take a look at the top five cards?
We do. It is time for the top five cards.
Top five cards.
Number five, everyone's favorite colorless spirit dragon who may or may not be dead in the past or present or look, that's complicated. Don't ask. It's Ugin, the spirit dragon, because he's kind of good against decks that have permanence.
Oh God. Now my nose is bleeding.
Seriously?
From Ugin? From the maybe dead in the past, the present. Look, just shut up.
I'm a real abstract kind of dragon.
All right, and number four is Hushwing Griff, primarily because Jack hates Hornet Queen, and this does bad things to Hornet Queen.
Yay!
See happiness.
The whip deck's a little sad too.
Episode. Oh yeah, it really
does. We're gonna be so happy until we actually get to the alternate on the F&M cards.
Number three, Valorious Stance, because it's new and it's, well, they're pretty good. You know, either one of those things is probably helpful most of the time.
It takes care of all kinds of problems.
It does. You mean Valorous Stance?
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry. Valorious. My bad. Valorious Stance. Velour Stance.
I was going to say, I used to have some pants made out of Valorious.
It's totally...
Valorious pants.
Not wear those jogging.
Wait, can you get velour pants? Is that a thing?
Yes. I bet you can. And it will be the most comfortable jog you have ever taken.
Until my thighs catch fire.
It'll be the last one you ever take.
Speaking of fire, or I guess really electricity, technically. Number two is Storm Breath Dragon, because he's still really, really good.
And he's still protection from white, and does not care for your valorious pants.
He does not. No white pants after Labor Day for Storm Breath Dragon. And number one is Outpost Siege, which I had to go read because I didn't actually know this card.
Yeah. The quick recap is the Contap is that Chandra ability where you get a card at your upkeep that you have to use that turn or it's gone forever. And the Dragon Taff, I don't know that anyone actually uses, but.
Oh, why wouldn't you, man? The Dragon Taff is essentially Boggart Shenanigans for all your guys.
You know how many people that appeals to, Clues?
Like all of the good people in the world.
I was going to say, that appeals to Clues.
I mean, it's good, but yeah, the point is, the nice thing about the Siege is you can run both sides of it with two cards, and then life is great.
In a format where you can make so many tokens from so many different effects, that's
so many different sack outlets.
Yeah. And they don't even have to die. They've just got to leave the battlefield.
You're silly.
So, yeah. I'm saying the dragon side is great. I love the dragon side. Dragons, dragons, dragons.
I mean, both sides are great. Yeah.
Also, dragons.
That is also valid.
And that is your top five cards.
Top five cards. All right, then. So moving away from the Sunday Super Series.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Let's go to the SCG Open in... I closed it.
D.C.
The District of Columbia.
Although it was probably outside of D.C. technically, but still.
No one can afford it.
It's probably way far outside of D.C. if it's anything like the GPs. It's like, why is GP D.C. a 45-minute drive from D.C. D.C.?
Because you don't want to be in D.C.
Ain't that the truth?
They can't park there.
Yeah.
You can. It just costs $85 and
we can afford that, we bought Ugin.
And your right leg.
So, how many people were in, Stan? I have everything but the deck list closed. I apologize.
It was, I believe, 507 players, according to our show notes.
Nice. Well, it was won by Gerard Fabiano, who came in first out of that number of people.
It would be a lot more interesting if it was won by Gerard Fabiano, who did not come in first, but somehow took the top slot anyway.
GD Faye.
Send us an email.
Jack at mpgcast.com.
Exactly.
In a rare turn of events, the entire top eight was DQ'd, and ninth place Gerard Fabiano won the event. No,
the actually, ultimate tiebreaker.
He did make top eight and did actually win.
Yeah. Yes. Quoted on the scene as saying, wait, what?
And he won with a Sultai control deck.
Like Sultai Super Friends.
Yeah, it's not quite the Legion of Doom. Who would Sultai be?
The Outsiders.
Oh, that's nice and obscure. I like it.
New X-Men.
Quiet you.
The Injustice Gang.
But he said, this is Sultai Super Friends. He's running four different Planeswalkers and Seder Wayfinder, and everything else is other things.
Yes.
Like, everything else is what? Removal, counterspell, removal.
Card, draw some cards.
Removal. That's removal. That's removal. Oh, draw some cards. Oh, your opponent discards. Yeah, so everything is other.
It's all card advantage or murder.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
I'm not sure I really, am sad I missed out on going to this event then. Cheating, murder, and it all took place in Tombstone, apparently.
Next to DC. Yeah.
Well, Tombstone is pretty far outside of DC. Yeah, that sounds right. Was that 45 minutes away in a Concorde? Anyway,
if it comes down to card advantage or murder, I think you should probably choose card advantage because murder is elite.
Because it's a great show.
How bad you want the PAX, man?
It is pretty good show.
So we're picking cons on this one. Sorry, Dragons.
Picking cons, yes.
Okay, so, yeah, but yeah, I mean, he's running. So of his spells, there are Bile Blight, Dig Through Time, Disdainful Stroke, Downfall, Cut, Sultai Charm, Crux of Fate, Interpret the Signs, which is a trip. Rakshasa's Secret and Thoughtseize. Like, it's all card advantage or murder. Yeah, he's not wrong. Or both in some cases.
You know you want to interpret the signs and see Ugin, right?
Phew. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. But I guess I'll draw eight cards.
His Planeswalker suite is two copies each of Ugin, which is pretty cool, Kiora, wait, what? And Ashiok, and then one Garruk Apex Predator because murder.
Because murder.
Murder.
So,
I'm really disappointed this deck was not called pulling a 187.
Control.
Or is it a 180? Okay,
it's 187.
Okay. Yay, I got my rap references right.
So let's see, what's going on here?
We're recording Monday Night Magic?
Card advantage?
No, the freaking deck, damn it. What?
Oh.
So yeah, there's no swearing on Monday Night Magic.
So obviously there's all this control over here, but what are you stalling for? I mean, to a Kiora limit break? To snatch something with Ashiok?
I was gonna say, you can snatch things with Ashiok, you can, I guess you could eventually Ugin them to death.
You could make a bunch of Garruk Wolves?
Garruk Wolves will get the job done. That Seder Wayfinder could technically beat them to death.
If that happens though, they're having a really bad day.
I mean, yeah, Ugin will zap them to death, Garruk will just make wolves and hit them. Like, it's Planeswalker.
Oh, look, Ugin deals three damage to player, too. Okay, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
He will ghost fire them until they stop moving.
Yeah.
And they won't know what hit them, because it's colorless, and they won't be able to see it.
Carbon monoxide breathing it is.
Lord.
But, yeah, I mean, it's a traditional control deck where you have a win condition that's just, I get you for three a turn, there's nothing you can do about it. Because with the Crux of Fate in there, you can kill all your tokens from Garruk or whatever, and all their stuff, and then just make more. Because, I mean, his stuff is plus, so...
Yeah, right?
He'll keep going up as they're dead. And then all of this instant speed, counter spells, kill stuff is just to get around the red decks that have things with haste.
Seems good.
Well, it was good enough. It got there.
And then in the board, he's got such interesting things as, let's see, Feed the Clan... Again, stall.
Yeah.
Polukranos, because why not?
Yeah.
Silumgar the Drifting Death, with his derpy dragon face.
who once again will three them.
Hey, yeah. You guys should actually have some mercy for this guy, because he only has two teeth in his entire head, apparently.
Apparently. Are you talking about G-Fabs or the dragon?
No. Slumgar.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure...
That's terrible.
Pretty sure Gerard will flash the pearly whites. Well,
then, look, there's a theme here, too, because Simligar only has, like, two teeth, and then Tassigur apparently only has one bling-bling pimp tooth, so I feel sorry for both of them. Look, I guess Tassigur, you could say they even drowned in sorrow.
But he does have two bananas.
It's fresh skull fruit. He's happy.
Skull fruit. So yeah, it's an interesting deck. I like it. I mean, I could never play it, but I like it.
I bet the mirror matches will be miserable.
But I mean, like, this thing has to be fairly easy to pilot. Like, I don't think it's actually that hard to pilot. It's draw and kill. And in an unsure meta, he chose the best deck.
Just give me a deck that just kills things, because I don't know what sort of nonsense I'll run into.
I mean, if the goal is to take care of your opponent, it does that. And it did.
No, it doesn't take care of them. It destroys them, actually. If it took care of them, there would be lots of... And each player gains life in here.
No, he means like the mob equivalent.
The mob way.
Take care of
them. Oh, you mean like quotation marks take care of them. Yeah.
Like Jimmy Hoffa.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was fitting.
Yeah. So that's first place.
Yep.
Second place, Danny Goldstein. Goldstein? What's the generic default way to pronounce that, so I'm not offending people?
Goldman.
Danny G.
Gold guy.
Danny G.
Golden.
The gold man is playing a red-white aggro deck with a single Soulfire Grandmaster in there, just because it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And he's also running the Outpost Siege, because duh. And collateral damage, which... Oh, attack a creature. Okay, that's fine. And Valorous Stance, because planes, so you might as well, it seems. Then he's got Wild Slash in the board. Good lord.
Yep, I'm pretty sure, like, aside from just all the normal advantages you have here, if the game runs long enough, you can actually use the Soulfire Grandmaster's ability to get an instant sorcery back with Stoke the Flames for pretty much making Stoke the Flames cost almost nothing, so that your strategy is tap four lands, do four damage, repeat, and that's how you'll finish it.
That seems fine.
I mean, he got him there.
He's running lots of burn. Rabble Master, Seeker of the Way, and Monastery Mentor. I missed him because his name does not stand out as a new card. But he's another one of those amazing new mythics.
Yep, he gives you more little guys.
But more little guys with prowess. That's just sick. Yeah.
And they help make that dragon side of Outpost Siege better. I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure later in the game, the dragon side is what you're going to call, right?
I think that for that first deck that we saw that had four of the Outpost Siege in it, the first one you do is cons, so that when you get to the second one, because by then you'll have more things out anyway, because you're getting twice as many cards a turn, that you can shift into that mode. With this one, only have the two of them.
That guy was four? I thought he just had two in the board.
I could be wrong. Maybe I was just combining the board and the main in my head. But I think for the decks that will run four, they'll probably be aiming to cons first and then dragons. For this one, I think it's just here for the dragon side. Because, yeah, you've got you just got such a density of burn, but you've also got a much heavier token theme that you'll just get more damage out of making more little guys. So, but again, both modes are really good in this deck, and the good players will pick the right one each time.
Yeah, it's true. It's not like you're going into it like, all right, I gotta do this. No, it's flexible, damn it, because...
It's like how you know what you want to do with the charm, and what you want to do might change next turn.
Right, yeah. I see what you did there. This guy's also running two Elspeth in the board. That's trippy.
More tokens.
Like, wait, did I have enough tokens last game? I did not!
Good.
Excellent. And Clues is putting things in the chat that he should be saying out loud.
Nope.
Lick it up like a piece of cake.
You're really confusing people right now.
Okay, I'm sorry. Where were we? Yes. Other decks.
So third place is Hunter Nance with an Abzan aggro deck.
That's not how you pronounce his capital letters, Chewy.
I'm sorry.
You shout this man's name.
Yes, his name is in all caps. So this is the Abzan aggro deck piloted by Hunter Nance!
Where's Brad?
Turns out his name is actually an acronym. That's why it's all capitalized.
Oh, okay.
I will leave it up to you, dear listener, to figure out what it is an acronym for. If you figure it out, send it to jack@mtgcast.com.
Humans under neutral, Terran equivalent, radical, nuanced, agricultural, nuanced, collective, environmentalist.
Aha!
Aha! That's close enough.
Did you use nuance twice?
Maybe.
Because it's extra nuanced.
It's nuanced. This group,
you know, yeah. Not that I'm a hipster, but you've probably never heard of them, Clue.
Jeez. Did you just out hipster Clues?
They're actually a Kiss cover band, you know, formerly of Density of Burn. You might have heard of those guys.
Oh yeah, definitely. Those guys are awesome.
No one will learn any of these decks. It'll be
so
great.
Going back to the Abzan Aggro deck, this is actually a pretty normal Abzan deck, except he's got two copies of Tessiger the Golden Fang in here, which is great. Because not a single card in here does your opponent want you to have again.
Not a one.
Damn it, Clues. Stop putting things in the chat. I'm going to be forced to read them out loud.
Clues, don't you start with me. I know tons of Depeche Mode lyrics. Don't even try me.
I like how, if you look in the board for this one, he can just sort of go, and by the way, the Super Friends show up.
Yeah, he's got a single Elspeth, Lilyvess, Nyssa, and another Sorin all in the board, just hanging out.
He's like, put me in, come on, I got this.
Put me in, coach. Sorry, I broke into... Who is that?
Someone's house.
No, it's...
Are you ready to play today?
It's Jim Carrey in a tutu, what is that?
I don't know, but apparently the guy who Ace draws Ventura? Garfield came in 27.
I think that was Ace Ventura.
Right, that was Ace Ventura, okay. Put me in, coach. Anyway. Okay, next deck. That was third. Fourth place is Blue-White Heroic Logan Mize. With nothing... Nope, nothing new?
I think this is the nothing new one.
Oh, wait, but he's playing Treasure Cruise. You can't play Treasure Cruise. It got banned everywhere, except for the places where it's not broken. So never mind.
Here it is.
So, all right, Blue-White Heroic, nothing to see here that's new or fancy. But this deck apparently still works, because he took fourth. So how about them apples?
I imagine the Disdainful Strokes got better. So many of the cards that people are running now do cost four or greater, so that might be helping this deck out a little bit, too.
Ain't that the freaking truth?
I mean, there are already enough of them, but now pretty much all of them have at least something.
So, and speaking of which, fifth place is Ali Antrazi playing Sultai Ramp. And look at this mess.
With two copies of Jack's favorite card.
Yep.
Oh, but I love it in this deck. I absolutely love the combination of Hornet Queen and Frontier Siege.
No that love one you for can pick dragons Sears? For. Really?
That one you can pick dragons for, guys.
Guys, no. Screw every other card in this deck. This man had enough balls to actually play Worst Fears. I believe in this man. Ollie, say what?
I mean, he's ramping, so 8 mana without Delve is actually not impossible.
Yeah, so I, like, Worst Fears being here just made my day.
Huh. I kind of forgot that this card existed.
Well, there's a reason for that.
Yeah, it's like the bad version of Mindslaver.
Well, you know, pick them up now. There's still only $1.50.
Pick up one.
But yeah, so...
You just need one.
So Bill mentioned Frontier Siege and Hornet Queen together, which is hilarious.
Yeah, when you pick the dragon side on Frontier Siege, each creature with flying enters the battlefield, you know, under your control. You can have it fight something you don't control. So Hornet Queen brings 5 kill spells when you drop it while Frontier Siege is out.
Which is ridiculous.
And this deck's not even running Whip. It just doesn't care.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that.
But that's just that you ramp it in there. It's one-sided board wipe. I mean, you'll probably keep at least your Hornet Queen itself. Or you could let it die and use Tassiger to get it back. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah. So wait a minute. Let's see. Yeah, because the Hornet Queen will enter the battlefield. The fight will go on the stack, and then... I guess if you stack it properly, you can stack it to where she will either survive or die based on how you want to do it.
Because the other insects will come in and have their own fights, and then as long as one of the other ones kills the thing she would be fighting, she doesn't have to. Also, right. It's optional.
Yeah, so. I was going to say it's optional. Why would you force her to fight?
Oh, it does say may have it fight.
I mean, if you really like the idea, she could do that too, but she doesn't have to.
Baller.
Like, Frontier Siege is one of those cards that the first half of it adding double mana ramps you into the Hornet Queen, if you're just doing it honestly. The second half lets you wreck the world once you get there, which is why I'd run 3 of them. But I mean, this deck's running Garrick. It's running Toogan. It's running Worst Fears. It's got a Pearl Lake Ancient. It can do, it's got plenty of stuff to do when it gets to the top end, even if you're not Hornet Queen destroying the world. So, and it's got the three Crux of Fate to help along the way too.
Yeah, that's going to be a running theme, I think, because five mana black, Wrath is pretty good.
Yeah.
And of course,
I mean, it's the best not Damnation they could have rented, right?
Damn it.
I mean, situationally, it can be better, because in the board, he's got a Salumgar, which means that you can Wrath everything but your dragon.
There you go.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, I like the way the sideboard is like the rest of Gerard Fabiano's deck.
About, yeah. I like the fact that it goes up to three Ugin, potentially. That's when you're not messing around.
Good lord. So, like, I was looking at this going, where's all the ramp? Because there's Caryatid and Courser. That's nothing new. And then that's it. And I remembered, oh wait, Frontier Siege jumps you two mana every turn.
Potentially four. It's each main phase. I mean, you're going to be able to do other stuff your turn.
Oh god. It is each main phase. I had forgotten about that. That blew us all away when we talked about this card on the mana pool. Blah. So yeah, you don't really need any other ramp, do you?
I mean, you still can't do it till turn four, so that's what the Caryatid and the Courser are helping with.
Yeah.
But yeah, you'll jump up there pretty quick.
Mm.
And so, then Garrick will show up and kill you.
Because that's what he does. Because he's killing Planeswalkers. And as all of the promotional material for the last several years has said, you are a Planeswalker.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Garrick standing behind you with a big-ass axe.
When did our freaking game become so violent towards the players?
Once they made humans a creature type.
when they printed that card that said sacrifice a human, colon, yeah.
Yeah.
This is also around the time they printed murder.
A human, colon.
Yeah, I was... Wait a minute. Let's back up here. Is it convention food that sacrifices a human, colon?
Well, it's venue food, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, so that is fifth place. Sixth place, Andrew Boswell with another Abzan aggro deck. This one is running Soldier of the Pantheon.
Alongside Warden of the First Tree.
With four copies of Warden of the First Tree.
Yeah.
Because he wants to piss off Chewie.
But why is he running Soldier of the Pantheon, I wonder? Just because?
Well, I mean, you're probably going to gain some life.
Because Rakish the Death Dealer.
I was going to say protection.
Siege Rhino is blocking it.
Protection from Siege Rhino is why.
That seems fine.
Well, I mean, if you look at the deck, like Jack was just saying, every creature in the Abzan deck is multicolored.
Oh, God, I just had this horrible, like, mental image there. The soldier's, like, running through the legs of the Siege Rhino, and he's like, can't get me! Can't get me! The Siege Rhino's like, shut up and hold still!
Yeah, Soldier of the Pantheon is kind of Legolas in that deck.
I was gonna say, it's like Legolas and a freaking Oliphant.
Just to be clear out there, yeah, we know that Soldier of the Pantheon isn't really all that good of a blocker for Siege Rhino. That's because he's got Trample. Just don't write. We know.
Or write to me.
Or write to Jack at mtgcast.com.
See, this guy, to put in the soldiers and the wardens, he's dropped the wingmate rocks.
I can understand that, though. He's got other stuff to do with his mana in the late turns now.
Yeah.
I mean, you're running the wardens.
I think he came prepared to fight Abzan. That's what I'm looking at here.
Yeah, he's like, screw the mirror match. I got this.
Which is not a bad call based on the way decks have been lately.
No kidding. All right, then. So that's nifty. Burp. So that's that place. Seventh place is Dan Musser with a more different Abzan deck. This is the Abzan Planeswalkers deck.
Yes.
So this would be... Bill, what did you say?
What, the Injustice Gang?
Yeah, this would be the Injustice Gang. Because the other one was clearly the Outsiders. Like, no kidding. So he's running the Siege Rhinos, of course. Courser of Kerfix, of course. And a Tassigur.
What?
And then he's got three Elspeth, two Sorin, and an Ugin in a Pear Tree.
Yep.
And then a whole lot of
How
kill
much
all
card
that.
Advantage does the Pear Tree actually give him, though?
Not many.
A lot more than Fruit of the First Tree.
That's true. Depending on what dies. But you never have the Fruit of the First Tree when the big thing dies, so it doesn't matter.
And also, you never go hungry. Save hashtag, human colon. There we go. MTG Finance pro tip, bring your own fruit tree to the venue.
No, don't bring an actual fruit. Bring some fruit, that's fine.
Clues advises bringing a fruit tree.
I just to be clear, I do not.
Or maybe bring a backup colon.
Your friend's not using it.
Anyway, so yeah, that's that deck. There's... It's interesting to see Tassigur popping up in places that aren't graveyard decks, because he's just so good.
Yeah, I mean, he's 4 mana, get your kill spell back. So, it's pretty sweet.
Hey guys, remember Eternal Witness? You can potentially cast him for 1. Oh, and the body's bigger.
Wait a minute. How is it? I guess he is the source of the devil. Oh, there's Murderous Cut. But that's it. Like, you have no way to get rid of anything in your graveyard other than Tassigar himself and the Murderous Cut. There's only one of each in the main.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's all you need.
I mean, his main job is to get you more of spells that do things. Like, really, if you look at most of the cards on the side, they're all either drawing you kill spells or are kill spells. And then there's, like, a Thoughtseize, I guess, which, you know, you're probably going to have some of those in there.
Interesting.
They're not going to feel good giving you a Thoughtseize every turn either, so.
That's very true. I'm like, oh, shuck you every turn. You get rid of the thing you're holding every turn. All right, then. So, 8th place, which I think is, well, where we're going to stop.
Mike Wazowski.
Yes, Mike Wazowski won with, no, wait, Michael Walewski won with Just Guy Aggro, and this is fun times.
Yeah, it is.
So we've got Rabble Master, Mantis Rider, who we haven't seen terribly much of lately, for some reason, Seeker of the Way, Stormbreath Dragon, and Shaman of the Great Hunt.
Yeah.
Who is sick.
He is your card draw engine.
And yeah, I'm okay with that. He's also running Valorous Stance, Wild Slash, and Abzan Advantage, which, in case you're going, huh? That's target player sacrifices an enchantment, bolster 1. Because sieges and bestow guys
and
things.
Whip and courser.
Oh god, there's enchantment creatures!
Yep.
Okay.
What would you guys do without me here? Again.
Apparently I wouldn't make that noise, that's a thing. Okay, so what else has he got?
There's one more. There's one more person. Oh, okay, we're still talking. Never mind.
There's nothing. There's another Abzan Advantage.
It's also running the Wild Slash, which is pretty important when your opponents have Rabble Masters. I mean, it's just a 2/2, so
that is a good point.
There's enough things with a low enough toughness that it's still entirely viable, especially when it makes your Seeker of the Way bigger and lifelinky.
This deck is a trip.
And Karanos is still on the board.
Yeah, he is.
You will never get rid of him. He is here to stay.
And he's running. Why is he running Dig Through Time? Instead of Treasure Cruise. Like, what's he specifically looking for? I don't see anything that's just, unless it's because of the... No, I can't see why he's wanting two specific cards over just raw card advantage in this deck.
He might be looking for it specifically to get, Jeskai Charms for that whole turn of +1/+1 in lifelink, because that's one of the only ways he's gonna make up for heavy early damage. But beyond that, sometimes you just want a dragon right now. I mean, the pro white's still relevant, and some turns you just need it. So. I don't know.
Or maybe it's
if
because
you don't
he
have
has...
the mana to cast 3, you might as well just use 2.
I guess it could also be because he's got so many answers that he just wants to cherry pick answers instead of just another dude.
It also makes the sideboard better.
Yeah. Oh yeah, okay.
I need that Karanos right now. Go get it.
Also, listeners, in case you hear anything terrible happen, my browser just crashed, and when I went to reopen it, it decided it needed to update.
Ooh.
So in case anything bad happens in the next few seconds, you'll know why.
Well, you guys are sounding... Yeah, I was gonna say, you guys are sounding, maybe it's my connection, but it sounds like the sampling rate went down. But they won't notice when you encode this. It'll sound the same.
Also, everybody sounds fine to me, so they really won't notice.
Right. Awesome. Yay, cool. I sound pretty.
So that is 8th place. There are a couple more in the standard that we wanted to talk about. One because it's crazy, and another one because it's fun.
Yeah, I have one I want to point out right quick before we go on. That's okay.
All right, which one?
Okay, the creator of Garfield, Jim Davis, actually came in playing blue-white control in 27th place. Now, I want you guys to take a look at it, because I've heard many times over the last couple of standard seasons that people want actual blue-white control back. This runs 1 Pearl Lake Ancient and 3 Elspeth's Sons Champion as its win conditions, and everything else is either counter or removal or card draw.
That's some pretty traditional blue-white control.
Yep, so there you go.
And yeah,
also, he made Garfield.
So I was going to say, the creator of Garfield has actually been placing highly a lot here lately, so... Because I have resisted...
Have you read that comic book strip? Like, he obviously needs to start looking for a different job, just saying.
Aww. I haven't actually read Garfield in years, so I got no.
I think once they took Garfield out and it was just Garfield without Garfield, it got all somber and sad. Huh. So,
yeah, it was 100 times worse.
Dude, I love Garfield without Garfield. It's so incredibly sad. It's like, oh.
John Crazy.
For those that don't know, this is an actual thing where people have removed Garfield and the things he says from Garfield strips. And it's
actually Garfield minus Garfield, I think.
Ah, okay. It's this bizarre, like, existential thing. It's really depressing and entertaining at the same time. So I actually highly recommend that anyone that doesn't know, check it out.
Yeah, you get to watch John Arbuckle just sort of lose it.
Anyway, so the 10th place deck is one that Bill and I went all goofy over, and I think Clue's probably too, but he wasn't in on that conversation earlier.
I'm sorry, 10th place?
Yes,
Mardu Aggro.
Well, I already like the sound of this.
Of course.
You're going to like the deck, too.
All right, let's see what we got here.
Tell us what we got here, Clues.
Uh-huh. We got some Acrone Hoplites. I approve. Brutal Horde Chief. Very good. Butcher of the Horde. Always good. Goblin Rabble Master. Feed the Butcher. Monastery Swift Spear. Yes, very big fan of the Taylor Swift Spear. And Seeker of the Way. Yeah, I like all of these. These are all good quality creatures we got here.
Yep.
Over in the spells, we got Chained to the Rocks, of course, Crackling Doom, Lightning Strike, Stoke the Flames, Wild Slash, and Hordling Outburst. So far, I'm loving this. Now, don't know how I feel about the Sorin.
He feeds the chief.
Your guys get +1/+0 in lifelink, and yeah, he feeds the chief.
All right. Yes, he does feed the chief. Okay, Sorin, you're in.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like this a lot. If I played Standard.
Right?
Yeah, I'm just gonna go ahead and save this here deck list.
It's just clean.
Yeah, it's just all the things I want to do.
And as far as aggro decks go, it's very pure.
It has one plan.
Like, it's kill you in the face. By the way, I'll have to remove some of your guys to get to your face. And that's it, yeah. Now once you get into the sideboard, it starts to, you know, lose some of its pureness just because that's what a sideboard is for. Pureness? Purity. I just hit puberty, too. Did you hear that?
Pure Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yes.
Pureness. Zing.
But let's be real. We're here to talk about the 11th place deck.
Yeah, we totally are. So that's the Mardu Aggro deck. But this... So Bill said, so here's the thing. And I was like, what's that? He goes, Tamer Ascendancy Combo. And my brain looked up in its brain database what Tamer Ascendancy did. And I went, that's pretty cool. And he goes, yeah, I'm watching the deck tech with it now. And I said, wait, that's a what? That's a real thing?
Yeah, it's a real thing. So I'll walk you through it because this is not very intuitive immediately. The effects that you have to understand are that Tamer Ascendancy gives creatures you control haste. It does some other stuff, but that's the main important part. It gives the creatures haste. Separate from that, we have the Tamer Sabertooth, which is a card, the uncommon from the new set, that for one and a green lets you turn another creature to its owner's hand. It gives the Sabertooth indestructible. Again, not super relevant immediately, but nice to have. The main thing, though, is that this is a Nykthos deck. This is a mono-green Nykthos deck that happens to be running Tamer Ascendancy because the mana is just that good right now. And what you do is you use a combination of cards. Essentially, just get a bunch of things out to the point where you can make a lot of green mana. And then you use the ability to tap and untap the land for Nykthos to get, like, more than 6 or 7 mana. You just get a lot. But ultimately, you have enough mana that you can bounce your Voyaging Satyr and then replay it, which takes 4 mana total. So as long as you get to 5, you've got infinite mana. And then you can just keep doing it. You bounce it. You cast it. It comes in new. It has haste. It can tap again, untap Nykthos, make however much mana, keep doing this. And then eventually, you have enough mana sitting around that you can use a Genesis Hydra to reveal the top X cards of your library, which is your library. You reveal your library, and then you reach through your library, and you put Nylea, God of the Hunt, onto the battlefield. Nylea's relevant word is that other creatures you control have trample. And her second ability on there is that, you know, target creature gets +2/+2 until end of turn for 3 and a green. Now, as stated before, you've got infinite green mana at this point, and you can just keep doing this, you know, ad infinitum until you've repeatedly dumped a whole bunch of creatures out at once. They all have haste, they all have trample now, and you've got arbitrary amounts of mana that you can pump any given one of them, or all of them, as big as you want, attack, kill.
Oh, okay. I was worried that you were gonna kill yourself with the Temur Ascendancy because of its second ability, but you don't have to draw the card. You may draw a card.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, all right.
Not to also mention the interactions between Temur Sabretooth and Eidolon and Courser and all that kind of garbage.
Oh, yeah.
Drawing cards for an exorbitant amount of mana seems fun.
I mean, you essentially have so many different directions once you have infinite mana in this deck, and you get to infinite mana off of a relatively small number of cards, some of which get you other cards. So you just go nuts with it. And then the sideboard has other big dumb things that you can do, like dumping a Nugan or Whisperwood Elemental to make it so that you don't need the trample. You can just make all your guys unblockable. Whatever you want to do, really, it's just a crazy deck. And in the meanwhile, all the cards in it are just good. So if you don't get the combo going, you still have Pelucranos with a good ramp package. You've still got your Boonsaders for violence. You've still got Hornet Queen, and you've still got the normal Genesis Hydra, which is just gigantic and getting you free cards. It does everything that you want to do in a green ramp deck.
Yeah. Now, there was a... What's the word I'm thinking of? Deck tech. There we go. There was a deck tech done on a similar, but not quite the same deck. If you want a word from a guy who was playing it. His deck was different, though. I think he had Nylea's Disciple in the main.
He also had Singing Bellstrike.
And Singing Bellstrike was another thing.
Which, it's understandable if you don't remember it. It was a spell that taps something and doesn't let it untap, but it also lets you pay 6 mana to untap it. So with infinite mana, you let one of your guys become an auto-tapper, and then you don't have to do the whole bouncing trick. You just continually tap and untap Voyaging Satyr to make infinite mana that way.
Yeah.
I think the main difference is that the Temur Sabretooth gave you a way to do this on a creature that doesn't suck. So, if the combo doesn't go off, you've still got an indestructible 4/3. And the ability to rescue your other creatures if they're about to be destroyed by bouncing them, so.
Which seems fun.
Yeah.
Like, now I don't know if this is a deck that could take off.
I don't expect it.
Or if this is just a first week, no one sees this coming, let's do it. But.
I mean, the entire thing is contingent on the idea that you've got haste. And you're getting haste off of a 3-color spell in your mono green deck.
Right.
Technically, if you do the Singing Bellstrike approach, you could, in theory, not need it, but you still need to get to 7 mana. So, this is also the kind of deck that gets wrecked pretty hard by Wrath Effects, because it's a devotion deck. And wiping the board is really bad for you. So, I don't know, it looks like the kind of really fun thing to bring to your FNM and try out. And it's also one of those things that, if you already have most of the pieces for, just give it a shot, you'll probably have a lot of fun with it.
Hmm.
Like, I think the only new card in the main is an uncommon, so you should be able to get that.
Oh, and that's the Sabretooth itself, yeah.
Yeah, the Sabretooth. In the board, the only new cards are the Whisperwood Elemental and the one Ugin, and I'm pretty sure you could sub in a Garrick or whatever big thing you want in there. So, I think it looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah?
Just make sure that you get your sequencing right.
Yeah, and also, this is a combo that's easily, you know, ported over into other applications, I think. So, I mean, we might see something more interesting when the next set drops. Maybe some fabulous X spell, maybe? I don't know.
I mean, yeah, you could always just, you know, use a red and just crater claw them directly. I mean, there are plenty of things that you can do once you've got infinite mana. The main challenge is that you're going to want something infinite mana in green, since you still need that devotion to make it work.
Hmm. Yay, things and devotion stuff. So, are we good with the standard? What else? Let's see, just to run down the types of decks that are in the top 16, there's a Green-Black Constellation deck that BBD played in 9th, Mardu Aggro and Temur Ascendancy, another Abzan Midrange, another Jeskai Tokens by Tom Ross, Blue-Black Control, Abzan Midrange, and White-Red Heroic. Then there's some Reanimator further down, Mardu, Red-White Aggro, more Jeskai, blah, blah, blah. Mono-Green Devotion in 28th, I'm guessing without a Temur Ascendancy. Hey, look, Callie Anderson. Go, girl.
Hey.
Hey, look, Clues Mono Red in 29th. Yay.
Yay.
And, yeah, that's what you'd expect. He's running Mardu Scout. Because, duh.
Nah.
That thing is ridiculous. So there's lots of fun stuff going on in Standard right now with the new cards. Yay, fun stuff.
Yeah, let us enjoy this.
it won't last long, so enjoy it while you can.
It's nice when a new set comes out and they don't ignore the cards.
True. So let's see. Should we do Legacy next to wake clues up?
Well, I just ran out of things to say about Standard. I'm sorry. I mean, we could go to Modern, but I have really nothing to say about Modern. Except that I'm happy to see Zoo. That's all.
Well, then the wake clues up. Let's do Legacy because
great.
We're gonna have Legacy. Less. We're gonna have less to say about Legacy, I think.
Yeah, I think we're gonna breeze through Legacy. I'm happy to breeze through Modern too, but let's breeze through some Legacy. So, we had a total of 163 players show up to play Legacy at this event. Remember that opens are not what they used to be. It's now a 2-day event for the main format, which was Standard this time around, and it's. I don't really want to call it glorified side events, but they're side events for the other two.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of the Sunday Super Series. It's
because aren't they SCG IQs? They're Premier IQs.
They're Premier IQs.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So in first place we had Daniel Kozium.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, let's go, Daniel Kozium.
Yes,
with Show and Tell, I'm a little bit sorry to say, but Show and Tell's got to show up every now and then with Emrakul and
Rillaboom.
That's right, because those are the things that you want to either show and tell or sneak attack in there.
That actually hurt my throat.
We have broken Chewy. So in second and third place were both lands,
which
lands. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm all for a variety of decks, but lands? Yeah,
is this
lands.
What happens when I can't draw three cards, clues?
This is possibly what happens when you can't draw three cards. So yes, as Squee has pointed out, this is our first week with Legacy after the banning of Treasure Cruise. What I learned playing Legacy this weekend over at Atomic Empire in Durham, North Carolina, it's a great shop, you should check it out, was that Dig Through Time is still awfully dangerous.
Yeah.
It's probably more fair just because of the double blue mana cost, but holy crap, that card's still pretty good. But Treasure Cruise, gone. So we have two different lands decks. They're mostly just minor tweaks. For those who don't know, lands is a legacy deck that uses, wait for it, lands as its mostly primary win condition. Back in the day, it would eventually just beat you to death with a man land after it had destroyed all of your lands through using things like Ghost Quarter and Wasteland, along with Life from the Loam or Crucible of Worlds to get its lands back and just constantly destroy your mana base. And then it would beat you to death. It was totally miserable. But then somebody thought it would be a great idea to print Thespian Stage in a format where Dark Depths was legal.
Yeah.
And, changed the legend rule. And now we have ended up in a situation where that is the win condition. Although you can still you can still do the Punishing Fire Grove of the Burn Willows combo here as well. So it's got several different ways that it can attack you, and you basically can't counterspell any of it because they're all lands. So there you go. Anyway, that was second and third. That's probably way too much about lands. We had a Maverick deck in fourth, Metalworker in fifth, Dredge, not the manaless kind, in sixth. Let's see now, Teemer, is that Rug? Rug Delver in seventh, and Grixis Control deck out in eighth.
It is really nice to see Maverick showing up again.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Why is that all of a sudden? You can't say Containment Priest, because there's only one copy. I mean, there's another one in the board, but still. Oh, wait, no, we just had stuff change. I forgot Legacy had banner restricted list updates, too.
Yeah, Maverick is good when you're not exactly sure where exactly the format's going to go for a moment. It's kind of the end-all, be-all good cards deck.
Yeah, because really, every single one of these cards is good. Like, for realsies.
Oh, okay. Word, then.
Anyway, taking a glance out to the top 16, let's see if there's anything interesting going on here. Nope. Some more Delver out there, some Stoneblades, some Sultai. Nope. Sorry.
What changed in Legacy, other than the Treasure Cruise?
Treasure Cruise and Dig Through Time, pretty much.
We got a Dragon back.
No, Dig is allowed still, right? It was just Treasure Cruise and Legacy.
Dig's still allowed. Treasure Cruise is gone, and World Gorger Dragon.
Yeah, the World Gorger. Okay. And no one decided to do anything silly with that. At least if they did, they didn't get high enough for us to see it. So, okay.
Right. How far do we have to go out? Slivers in 26. There we go. Stephen Cook, thank you for the tribal deck out in 26.
All right, then.
There you go. That is your top five. No, wait. That is your legacy.
Okay. So that takes us to the modern. Oh, I forgot my browser crashed. Hang on. I have to reload all of these deck lists in case, again, in case anything awful happens. That's why.
Modern.
Modern. So.
Modern.
Modern. First place in Modern was, what was this guy's name? David Heilker. H. David H. Playing, of all things, Auras, which really means it's a Bogul's Spirit Dancer deck. Yeah, that thing.
Yep.
Which we've seen lately, but not much, right? Or have we seen it lately?
I don't remember seeing it lately, but I gotta be honest, I really don't pay a lot of attention to Modern.
And I have no concept of the passage of time, so lately could be like 6 months ago.
All right, so by our powers combined, we're, I guess, senile?
Completely worthless.
I don't pay attention.
This is a deck that's not running
know.
Blue, so it doesn't miss the cards that just went away.
Exactly. Now, I don't know. I haven't looked closely because I wanted all the to be on the air, but I get the feeling. So remember, Treasure Cruise and Dig Through Time are banned. Birthing Pod is banned, but that means we just won't see that deck anymore. And the Grave Troll is unbanned.
Right.
So the blue decks, like Bill just said, took a big hit, and Birthing Pod evaporated, and Dredge, I guess, got some... No, never mind.
Well, I think, and spoiler alert for the top eight, I think we have to go all the way out to 29th place to see Dredgevine before we get anything...
Which, 29th place out of 100 and how many?
For Modern, they had
65? 165?
Yeah.
That's top... What? Hang on, 1 second. That's top
carry
10, 8%, something like that. My brain refuses to do math anymore. But anyway, so yes, the Auras, the Bogul's deck, with all of the Auras that make things big and terrifying, and you punch them and they can't do squat about it. Yeah. So that's a thing. That one, good job. There's an Abzan midrange deck in standard, in Modern, here in second place.
With a Tassigar.
With a Tassigar. Because amazing. He's also running a Garrick Wildspeaker, which makes me just happy beyond all reason.
So, what's interesting with Tassigar in that deck is his interactions with Tarmogoyf. Because he puts two cards in there, and then your opponent gets to, you know, return a non-land to you. Means that you're both making that Tarmogoyf an unknown quantity when you choose to activate that ability. He might get bigger, he might get the same, he might become smaller. Fun times.
Interesting. Weird. All right, then. But I don't... Other than the Tassigar and the Garrick, I don't really see much here that's terribly different. So, moving on. That was Kevin Van Every. Pat Cox in third place with Zoo.
Yay, Zoo! Oh,
almost five-color Zoo at that.
He's running Loamline. Yeah, this is the not-red version, I think. No, there's red.
There's red.
This is not-black version.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does he have anything that says Swamp on it just because he's running Tribe? He's got Blood Crypt. So he is running Tribal Flame, so the fifth damage matters sometimes, so why not? But this is a strange Zoo because Elspeth.
Eh, she's kind of good.
Knight Errant Elspeth, by the way.
Didn't even... what?
Yeah, Brain.
This is my Tarmogoyf is flying Elspeth?
Yes, that is exactly what this is.
She just picks it up and throws it.
She's literally the best planeswalker outside of Jace the Mind Sculptor, period. Bar none. No other planeswalker can compare to her.
A lot of people make that argument.
I completely...
trying to poke holes in that, but nope.
No, like empathetically believe that Knight Errant is the best planeswalker outside of Jace the Mind Sculptor, because there is never going to be a deck where you're running her colors, you will not want her. And she fulfills every single good planeswalker requirement. She protects herself, she poses a threat, and she can really cause serious problems for your opponent just by resolving.
He's not wrong.
That was Jack's random informed opinion of the week. Tune in next week for another one, kids.
Yeah, I think the only one that I've ever situationally wanted more than her is having original Gideon out, because it makes your opponent just get angry and then make bad plays. Original Gideon is infuriating to play against. No, Tybalt killed me.
Oh, Tybalt's actually amazing. Like, people do not give that card nearly enough.
No. You don't understand. I was mindslavered and Tybalt killed me.
So wait,
it was my Tybalt. Did it
lose?
Yeah.
Oh.
With the cards in my own hand.
That's beautiful. That makes him extra hard bad.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's third zoo. Weird zoo.
Yeah, zoo. I mean, I like it. I think it's good. My brain is more back in the day when zoo was kill you, kill you, kill you, kill you, kill you, kill you. Are you dead? And nothing cost, you know, more than two, maybe three. So seeing an Elspeth,
that far from it.
Which Elspeth, you know, it's the first Elspeth, so it's got the +3/+3 in flying, which is the finisher to the kill you, kill you, kill you. Oh my God, are you dead? Actually, yes, you are. And I didn't see that. I saw Elspeth and I was like, why would they be running Elspeth in this deck? Not the new one, stupid. So yeah, my bad.
This is, oh no, we hit four lands. Time to finish this, Elspeth.
Let's see. Fourth place is the guy from American Dad playing Storm.
Wow.
Yes, it's Stan Smith.
This has been an all-star SCG lineup.
Right? And this is, well, it's modern, so it doesn't have 12 versions of Storm, so this is the one that wins with, there it is, Grape Shot. Okay. And there's Ascension, and is there an Empty the Warrens in the board? Yep, there's Empty the Warrens in the board, so all right.
Got one.
Your nice, happy, modern Storm deck. Next. Green Red Tron, Brad Carpenter in fifth plate. Wait, did I miss one? No, that was fourth. Okay. With, yep, exactly what you'd think in a Tron deck. Okay.
Yeah. You know that we have our first Tron deck up here, and it does not have Ugin, because it's got four Karns.
Yeah, you don't need Karn, or you don't need Ugin when you have the Death Star.
Yeah.
Although it would be pretty funny if he had dropped, you know, an Ugin or two in here or there, but whatever. Sixth place is more different Storm, which is probably not different, but Joshua Everly playing Storm. Burp. Seventh place here is the boogeyman, Jund. You guys remember when Jund was all anyone played ever?
Yes.
Oh, hey, finally made a comeback. Good show. Good show.
They only had to ban an entire deck and cripple all the others for Jund to come back, because poor Jund got crapped on quite heavily.
It's the original Abzan.
Yeah.
All the cards in it are really good. They also do good things together. And if anything challenges it, we will ban it.
Because reasons.
Yeah. Nothing.
All of our good cards with their free card technology aren't good enough. Get rid of those other cards that draw cards.
I don't really see anything terribly fancy here. I don't remember if Olivia was a standard thing in Jund. It seemed like she made an appearance often enough.
Towards the maturity of Jund, right before, you know, other decks actually were like, hey, we're much better than you, so we're going to take your popularity and your girlfriend and your car, and then we're going to go get a touchdown. Olivia was kind of the... Olivia was kind of the winner, the finisher in it, and she became ridiculously expensive because of it. Because
there's nothing like donging your opponent in the head, so...
Yep. Why are you hitting yourself, nerd? Why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself?
With a giant lady penis. So, and in eighth place, we have Decepticons.
So
look, I didn't draw the
picture. Did Goyf go up in price again?
Is it
Goyf's been up
Monday?
In price?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me.
I mean, he went up at like $10 the day they banned the blue cards. So.
More blood for the Goyf god.
Yes. And then eighth place is, like I said, Decepticons with Ghostfire Blade. Nobody. Whoa.
Wait, what?
Whoa, what? No, wait, that makes sense.
That's pretty cool. Because you can, with all of these colorless creatures, you can give something +2/+2 for 2 mana, and it's permanent. Well, as long as the creature's there. So, that's a thing.
I'm not surprised by this.
What was that?
I said I'm not at all surprised by this. Like, now that I actually remember that Ghostfire Blade's a card, yeah.
Exactly.
That's surprising.
Huh.
And of course, one copy of the Giant Scissors, because it's really funny. It's a Giant Scissors in Darksteel Citadel. That's in Soul Artifact, in case you're wondering.
Yeah.
So yay, Decepticons.
Look, it's a cute little Ornithopter, and he's just flying over here. What is the Ornithopter holding? I wonder what it is. Oh, God!
And you know the guys on the ground are running around like, I hate office supply stores, I hate them!
You can't give the Ornithopter haste, though, because you can't run with scissors. So...
Oh, very bravo, sir. Bravo.
Hey, no. I'm just going to say a best pun 2015. I nominate Chewie.
Oh, I can't run anyway because they don't have legs.
Suck on that, LSP.
Oh, because of the scissors. This just became a PSA overnight. Remember, kids, Zergo Helm Smasher doesn't want you to run with scissors.
Or not he'll kill you. Not without a helmet, kids.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Body massage.
All
right.
So let's see. Just because of all of the massive changes in modern last week, running through the top 16, there's Burn, Merfolk, Jeskai Flash, Abzan. Thanks for that. That doesn't actually tell me anything. Oh, okay. It's the standard junk deck. Okay. Teamer Twin, because you remember when Twin was a thing? Yeah, they brought that back.
Yeah.
Scapeshift, another Abzan, and another Zoo. Further down, I see such hits as Assault Loam, which I forgot how funny that was, because Seismic Assault. Hey, he's running Tassigur too. How about that? Okay. No more Tron. Oh, here's a Delver deck all the way down in 23rd. Yay. Because remember, Delver was a thing in Modern. It just wasn't the thing in Modern until Treasure Cruise was printed.
Yeah.
So now the Treasure Cruise is gone. You're not going to see them everywhere. But this guy, Hunter Weisheit, I'm going to call him, refused to give up, refused to give in, and rolled his way to 23rd place with what looks like your normal pre-Treasure Cruise Delver deck. So good on you, sir.
Relying on
those
serum visions.
Who would think that broken cards and broken commons would actually get you there? Not me. That's for certain.
I mean, you're just reprinting power with an asterisk, right? What could happen?
And then all the way down in 29th, as someone said before, you see a Dredgevine deck. Hey, look, Hooting Mandrills. Really?
Eh, monkeys.
it's just monkeys.
Yeah, whatever.
It's just always
Antastiger again.
Antastiger.
I mean, give the apes the ability to shoot firearms, and you know they become self-aware, and it's just monkeys.
It happens, right?
And you know, you give one an experimental Alzheimer's drug, and he accelerates his intelligence exponentially. You know, then we have two movies out of this. It's just you know.
And then you bring in that guy from The Interview.
Oh man, this is just stuff we're going to cover later in the semester.
And he was just as funny in The Interview as he was in the Planet of the Apes movies.
That's either because that movie was terrible or The Interview was terrible.
Yes. Actually, the latest, was it Dawn of the Planet of the Apes was the new one? Got some pretty good reviews.
Just because people knew going in they were getting a monkey with a machine gun.
Actually, no, they both got pretty good reviews. I think Rise
got any of them.
I think Rise got better reviews.
Yeah, the remake, Rise, I think was the first one. It was actually really good. Like, I actually enjoyed that movie.
Yeah.
Can we stop putting Rise in movie titles?
Yeah, because I feel like I have to sit up out of my seat then, and I'm not a standing kind of guy.
Would you rather, instead of Rise, would you rather have Ascending, like that new movie that's coming out February? I forget what the first word is. Jupiter, maybe?
Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, but see, that doesn't have
Monkey Ascending.
Yeah, it's Teamer Ascending, because Screw Jeskai Ascending.
Hey, we thought it was going to be format-breaking, and it wasn't, so now I guess it's sitting in a timeout.
Yes. But anyway, so that's Modern. Modern post-2015 bannings, there's a large handful of decks here that just repeat.
Very few of which are running blue.
Yeah, blue.
Admittedly, that's because the deck that they had a few weeks ago went away, and rather than building a new one, they all just lateraled into decks that they knew existed. I don't think that means blue is screwed. I think it just means that why would I build a brand new deck right now when all these new cards just came out
if I can just
make another one?
Also, keep in mind, the Pro Tour is in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's Modern, so that's where we're going to see all the innovations from the high-level pros trying to beat each other. And then all of the copycats at Star City Opens will build those decks and lose and not understand why. So, and some of them will win. You know, I'm just saying. But that's how that works. So Modern isn't dead or stagnant or boring just yet. This is the calm before the storm, I'm hoping.
It's like Great Cthulhu. It's not dead, it's just dreaming. Dreaming
it's like Gary
decks.
Cthulhu, yeah.
Gary Cthulhu. And he keeps wondering why he gets turned down in job interviews.
Mono Black's coming back, you heard it here.
Lord. So that is tournaments.
Yay.
Thank goodness.
They happened. Yay.
Done with that crap. So, after that, there's not much else in the show notes. Clues, you're a judge. What's this?
So with the release of a new set, we have a release of new policy documents and any changes to the IPG or the MTR. So how tournaments are run or how penalties are done. Hey,
what's MTR?
Magic tournament rules.
Ah, okay.
So how tournaments are run or how penalties are done.
And what's MTR? That's infractions penalty.
Infraction procedure guide.
Procedure. There's not I was thinking there was like a forward slash and infraction/penalties. No.
No.
Okay. Gotcha. I'm good now. This is why my puns are amazing. My judge skills are not. And no, I'm not.
We can fix that.
No.
But we can. Together, we can fix that.
So is there anything new going on here that's important?
Yeah. Well, not a whole lot, to be honest with you. There are going to be some rules for sanctioned casual FNMs, but those aren't done yet. They'll be coming soon. Because you know now that FNMs can be, well, practically any format you could possibly imagine. Yep. We needed to have some rules to handle this. One change that you might be interested in, you know the alternate play draw rule? You know, the one that says that during top eight, the person who has the higher seed gets to choose whether to play or draw?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. It used to be that that was the alternate play draw rule, and that it was always used in premier events and could be used in other events, provided it was announced at the beginning of the tournament. Well, now they've just decided, you know what, let's not just make that the alternate play draw rule. How about if we just make that the play draw rule? So going forward, I believe this will just be the default.
Fine by me.
I will never make it top eight, so that's fine.
I forgot it was a thing when in my only major top eight. And so I sit down and I'm ready to roll a die, and my opponent's like, what? And I'm like, well, I mean, you know, we're going to have to roll to see who goes first. He's like, nah, man, you get to pick. And I'm like, this is amazing. Because at that point in the day, I had lost nearly every die roll. I was like 1 for 5. And here I was getting a choice. It was wonderful.
And then you won that game.
And I did.
Yeah.
It was good times.
Word then.
So there you go. And technically, the way the MTR is worded, the alternate play draw rule works for any playoffs, not just top eight. So if you cut to top four, yeah, it still applies, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. If you cut to top nine, I don't know what you're doing.
Perhaps you get you to choose in the bye round.
Anyway, I think those are the only major changes in these. So there you go. Easy breezy.
Yay.
Beautiful cover.
Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline.
Maybe it's Tarmogoyf.
Or maybe it's just an MTR.
It's probably Tarmogoyf. So let's see. Next up, we have... we have the FNM promos coming up. So let's...
Hold on. Let me open my window, because I have plenty of ranting to do.
Okay, well, before you rant, we'll just run through it. February is the Disdainful Stroke that we know about already, with the weird art thing. March is the Hordling Outburst, with the adorable guys being chased by a giant Dagron. And then April is... What? Is Suspension Field.
Yep. So
that's cool. With a
tree dragon.
It is a tree dragon.
Dragon and a guy in a bubble.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, the tree, that's perfect. Yeah, I had nothing before you said that. Thank you. Okay, Jack, rant away, because I probably agree with most of the things you're about to say.
All right, so just to be fair, I would like to admit up front, I have no problem with the cards that they picked, because A, these are all cards I would absolutely love to own in either Commander, Standard, whatever. These are all also highly effective cards that are being played right now in Standard, so, you know, good on you. The only problem I have is with the art, because I think this is unequivocally some of the worst, most misleading art we've had since Phil Foglio was still doing Wizards of the Coast.
I happen to enjoy Phil Foglio's art.
Jeebus somewhere right now is raising his fist at me over Phil Foglio. I know he is.
All right. You want me to patch Phil in right now?
He is still in my phone.
No, he's on my phone.
Wow, like, how'd you snag that?
I was the person who picked him up at an airport for a convention he was a guest at.
Oh,
so I had to have his phone number.
Signed by Sherazade.
To be fair, I don't like his magic art, but the small press comics he did were actually pretty cool.
Oh, well, to clarify, he did not sign my Sherazade. His wife did, because she drew that.
I was about to say, wait.
Yeah, Kaja Foglio signed that. He signed Humility. So
okay,
Pretty
sweet. Our interesting Phil Foglio fact of the week. Yeah, Phil Foglio did small press comics, and now you know. Okay, so let's start with Disdainful Stroke, okay? What the hell is going on here? Like, I mean, no, like, seriously, stick with me. Like, look at the art for this card, especially since it's zoomed in on the link we have. What the hell is going on here?
Looks like there's...
The dragon is vaping. The dragon's front left claw is vaping.
Well,
also,
that does
there's
look like
a goblin party in the back that looks like the Mardu symbol.
Okay, I will give you credit. That giant thing to the immediate left of his head does look like a vaporizer. But all the same, to me, it looks like the giant is getting attacked by a fart cloud, and he's really confused as to where this is coming from, so, like, maybe he's disdainfully trying to swat it away. Like, because there's no actual, like, subject that you're disdainfully pushing away here, I'm really confused by this art. All right.
Is it like a... So, have you ever seen a dog that farts and wakes himself up? And it looks around like...
And, like, don't take this wrong, but I don't want to have a dragon that I can subdue by rubbing its belly and pretending I'm throwing a ball on my team. Okay, like, I don't need that in my art. I don't need that in my deck. All right. Cordlyn Outburst. This art is also really, really freaking confusing because you have what looks like the Keebler Elves on Strike, like, running towards the viewer, and they have a giant dragon behind them. So, like, this wouldn't be confusing, but if you actually start looking for the dragon's body in the foreground, it's not there. So it's this giant disembodied dragon head being, like, slightly above these goblins. So, like, is it on the back of the one goblin in the back there?
I think it's lying in the sand.
Okay, no, yeah. They're running from the dragon. The one is slightly lagging behind, is now in the shadow of the dragon. But if you compare and contrast this artwork with the original artwork for Hordling Outburst, it's the exact same three goblins, but now instead of running out of a tent, they're running away from a dragon.
But why are they angry that they're running towards you? Like, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
They're still goblins.
They're being chased by a dragon. You'd be angry too.
Okay, so, and all I wanted to do was go to the goblin market today. Come on! Okay, so let's go to the last card, which, again, I, like, out of the three of these, I honestly hate this one the most. And there's good reason for it. So, like, okay, let's look at the center focus of this art. Homeboy is out for a day of scouting, right? He's feeling good. Anna Facenza, or whatever her name is from the Abzan Temple, gave him that look, you know, so he's feeling great. He's feeling fine.
Anna Facenza.
Anna Nicole Smith, whatever her name is.
And he's walking out through the woods,
and he looks up, and he's all like, oh, those branches are kind of bare. Wow, they kind of look like, oh my god! And he gets teleported somewhere random because of this, like, dragon that happens to be a tree, but you don't actually see the head of the dragon, so you're not sure if it's just this really weird-looking tree, and then this really irregular root system in front of him. So it doesn't actually show me that, like, what's going on to this dude. Like, wouldn't this be more at home on something like Dismal Failure or something like that?
My main criticism of it is that the color palette used in it looks like it is a black-green card.
Agreed. Yeah.
And they make a big point of using the colors in the art for every other Magic card. This one feels like repurposed art.
Okay, well, on that side of things, in all fairness, Disdainful Stroke blowing up something green actually makes sense. It's not just a farting dragon. Okay, there we go. All right, that's my critique of people who get paid exponentially more than I do to create these things.
And I also want to interject that the Foglios still do the rather excellent webcomic Girl Genius, which I enjoy.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't even know they were still working.
Oh, yeah. I still do a lot of stuff.
That's cool. I might actually check that out. Like, yeah, I knew they did small press stuff because, again, that's Dr. Jeebus's favorite artist. And I happened to stumble across, like, something Phil Foglio did one time, but I didn't have the money to buy it. And I didn't know they still did work. That's awesome. I'll have to check that out. Girl Genius, correct?
Girl Genius, yeah. Online, yeah. It's if you like steampunk, it's a thing.
I'll tolerate it.
Okay.
Well, there you
then
go.
You will tolerate this.
That is a glowing recommendation from Jack.
Yeah,
Jack,
well,
tolerates your
like,
existence.
Yeah, like my scale of like for things goes from, wow, this really sucks, to here's the various things I critique about it, to, well, this will be nice until the next thing comes along. It's a good set of rules I've lived my life by.
Excellent. So, there is one more thing before Bill takes over the show for his Magic Online update where we all doze off, sort of like Clue's doing judgy stuff. See? And you know what, Bill? I'm just going to let you have this because I got nothing.
Oh. So this past weekend was PAX South in Texas, and Wizards is doing a lot of things there. You could try to get an Ugin pin. You could go to the prize wall. You can do all kinds of stuff in their tournaments. If you're wandering around the convention, however, you might have encountered a bear, like a guy in a bear outfit with a bag of Magic the Gathering, like a tote bag, messenger bag. And so if you walk up to this bear and you punch him in the face, like in every other part of your life, you can take his stuff. In the case of this one, though, they will not call security on you because you are instructed by the bear. Punch me, take a picture, and you get a magic pack. So there are pictures of this guy in a bear outfit getting punched in the face all over Twitter, Facebook, etc.
Now, so, that being said, can we take a moment for the waiver that this poor gentleman had to sign to be able to do this?
I don't think that they respected bear rights at all, actually.
And his insurance didn't even cover it. Like, for Christ's sake.
The settlement will be done in magic packs and an Ugin pen.
Can we call this speciesist?
Possibly.
Is that a speciesist? What do you call that? Anti-furry? What can we call it?
Well, that's... Hey. That's what those bears get for taking our jobs, okay?
They took Gertrude!
Filthy bears coming into this country with their fur and their families. Their hippie tendencies to live off the land.
That bear's probably Canadian anyway.
Again, with his... the bears with their liberal ideology coming in from Canada. I sound like everybody else in North Carolina right now. Holy crap.
Right? Everyone except who's on this show.
Apparently sound like me, according to some people, so whatever.
But you don't sound like a bear. You don't growl.
I try not to. I mean, I do like honey. Honey is delicious.
What are your thoughts on scratching yourself against trees?
Oh, I'm all for that.
That's why they're there, right?
Yeah. What about pooping in the woods?
I mean, I'm not going inside. That'd be rude.
Like the Pope. As the old saying goes, does the Pope poop in the woods?
Well, this does beg the question.
One leg at a time.
Can the Pope speak to bears?
Are you saying that God is a bear?
All right, let's go to Magic Online.
Wow, that got deep quick. Holy crap!
All right, Magic Online. Because Wizards really likes throwing on the word "super" lately, it's time for the return to the Vintage Super League.
I guess they're just saying.
Ooh, wow, that's terrible. And you get to sit in the corner now. So yeah, the Vintage Super League is essentially the thing where, Wizards gets together 10 people that they think you're gonna wanna see play Magic Online, and then they get them to play Magic Online, and you can watch this happen. They wrapped one of these up last fall. The new season is starting. You can click on the link if you're interested in seeing this. There really isn't too much to talk about. It's on Twitch.tv/Magic starting January 27th. So, Tuesday. Yeah,
this was really big last season.
I mean, like, the list is impressive. I don't want to have to read off the whole thing, but they're names that you probably know.
I'll do it.
Okay.
So, the players, as listed here are Steven Menendian, who, as you know, has been a champion of, Eternal formats, especially Vintage, for a long time. We even brought him onto this show, quite some many long, very time ago to talk Vintage.
About 100 episodes ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago, but we enjoyed it. It was really good to have someone who plays Vintage talk to us about Vintage rather than just us uneducated morons. So Steven Menendian, LSV, Eric Froelich, David Williams. Hey, look, they put the two poker players together. Chris Pakula.
They travel in packs.
Do what?
They travel in packs.
Packs of cards. Chris Pakula, Tom Martell, Rich Shea. I don't actually know him. Apparently he's the 2-time Waterbury Open champion. So that's a thing. Randy Bueller, Bob Marr, and Kai Buddha. So those, other than the one guy who I am very sorry I've never heard of, and I'm sure I'll catch all kinds of hell for that, so send me an email to jack@mtgcast.com. But no, really, tweet at me if you know who this guy is and yell at me for not knowing who he is. I apologize. But that's some impressive lineup there.
Yeah. And so those are people that you'll get to see over the course of, I believe, 7 weeks facing off. Nine weeks. Yeah, because there's 8 of them. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So over 9 weeks, they will face off, and you'll get to see them play Magic Online. So we programming. Also, as I mentioned last week, before I get to that. So prior to the launch of the set this weekend and the Magic Online pre-releases, they're going to be doing Fate Reforged preview drafts because there's even more things for you to watch, apparently. And for this one, you'll get to see on Wednesday the 28th and Thursday the 29th, other known Magic Online players and drafters will be doing Phantom Drafts, and you'll be able to watch them, I guess. So.
Cool.
That's neat.
Did we just lose Bill?
I think I was going to say you heard him stop too.
He'll be back next turn. Come on.
Yep, there he goes. Oh God, I don't know what to do. This is Bill's segment.
Hold on. Maybe I can make something up. where were we at the reminder of bannings? Yeah.
Yes. Hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Bannings are going to go into effect on the 28th on that MTGO Cockatrice BS that nobody actually plays. So stop whining about it. It's coming. Fate Reforged online events. Go read the link, you schmucks. I'm not going to talk about it. The pre-release is January 30th to February 2nd's downtime. Like in paper releases, you can pick your clan here by getting a token and you open a virtual box of packs. Unlike paper, no availability shortages on preferred clans will be there. Participation also gets you a Yasova Dragonclaw avatar. You can do friendly or competitive pre-releases, with the latter having prize distribution condensed with more wins rather than spread out. Oh, that took all the effort I had to actually, like, enjoy that. So Fate Reforged, the launch is February 2nd to the February 18th downtime. So you get plenty of time to sit at home, completely alienated from your playgroup and the rest of humanity, in the warm glow of the monitor before you.
And I just
that
got
was
a,
MTGO with Bill.
I just got a text from Bill that said, "Your internet gave my internet the cancer."
Bill, we do our best for you, man.
Yeah, my internet actually, was, my cable was out most of the day, so I was concerned I was gonna have to go to someone else's house, like drive all the way to my parents' house, or go sit in Mike's apartment to actually record this episode. Luckily, it came back on.
I just steal internet like everybody else.
Well, I mean, if my internet or cable is out, that means everyone's cable is out in this complex, so I can't really do that.
You could have recorded this in a McDonald's with a big gulp.
Yeah, but then I have to have people, and I hate people.
The warm glow of your monitor completely alienated from the rest of society.
Pretty much. So Bill is so, online, but he's not on Skype.
On the subject of the MTGO, I do want to mention one thing. So over the weekend, I met a listener named Kim. He's an awesome guy. He's in town in the Raleigh-Durham area for work this week. And so he happened to come out to Atomic Empire in Durham, North Carolina. It is a great shop. He checked it out and he agreed.
There it was.
That's the second one in the show. The first one was like an hour ago.
Yeah, it was.
He actually said that a lot of the people who complain about the MTGO version 4 client are people who don't remember the version 1 client. Because he's been playing since version 1 and said that was just absolutely awful if you compare it to what we have now. So, there you go.
Yeah. Okay. Hold on one second. I'm going to try to get Bill back. Come in, Squee. Do you read me? Over.
This is Squee coming in. What is your vector, Victor? Over.
Roger.
I was over under. He was underdone.
Ah, okay. I don't remember the jokes, so I'll just...
So have we sufficiently got rid of the sweeps, creeps, and bleeps?
That's a different movie. Still fun.
I don't care.
Lord, Jack picked a bad week to quit sniffing glue.
So, Bill, was there anything other than what's written down here that you wanted to talk about?
Because Jack went through it all, believe it or not.
No, I mean, that was pretty much it. The pre-release is this weekend. Have fun.
Sweet. Okay, then. So that... Wait. Is that the actual everything? That is the actual everything.
That is actually the everything.
Well, something like that, yeah. So, do we have any other items of business that we need to cover?
Well, I guess I should finally say something, shouldn't I?
To finally say something? We haven't gotten you to shut up this whole episode.
It was quite suspicious.
It was, and it was awfully weird that I showed up, so I promised I would keep this as short and sentimentality-free as possible, but I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do that. This is probably the last time you're going to hear me on Monday Night Magic. I won't say ever, because it seems like I try to shake this show. I really do. I try to shake this show hard off, but like it seems like every time I do that, I inevitably keep coming back. And the reason for that is, in the 6 years I've done this,
I literally cannot say I've had one bad experience doing this show. I have consistently had fun, made friends, and become a better person by doing this podcast. The reasons I'm leaving are not because of anything like super suspicious or crazy or anything weird like you might find with other podcasts.
We staged the coup and kicked him out.
No. And before the rumors start flying, I love all the guys on this mic right now. I love all the former hosts on the microphones here. Everything's good between everybody on the show because I know how Twitter likes to talk. But no, what happened is I actually got a legit job for a company I can't name at the moment. It's a pretty big company. You guys probably know who it is. It's a entertainment industry of sorts, and that's about as much as I'm legally allowed to say. So I'm going to be going to go work for this company that a lot of people know for probably a few years. And that means, unfortunately, there's a lot of things I got to leave behind. And it saddens my heart tremendously, actually, to have to put this show, which has very much been a part of my life and very much like helped me become a better person, behind after all these years. Cause it feels almost like I'm abandoning my family. And I know that sounds a very dramatic way to put it, but when I first started doing Monday Night Magic 6 years ago, I think I might have been 18 or 19. I had absolutely no friends, and I was staying in the house a lot, either getting drunk or high, like every day. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that I really didn't have any friends, and I didn't have anybody to talk to. And by chance, Tom extended the invitation to come on to this show I'd been listening to for months and months and months and calling into and bugging the piss out of him and Gavin.
And you had a whispering problem.
I had a severe whispering problem. And I like to think my angry yells have sufficiently made up for that first episode.
Yeah, I think over time your volume is above average now.
Levelator notice.
I rise above the national average. Yes. But I've made a tremendous amount of good personal friends by being on here, and I've had a lot of people befriend me for absolutely no reason other than they like the show, or they thought I was funny or something like that. And I will say that I got the job I got with this unnamed company off the backs of off the backs of this show, and so I really cannot put into words how thankful I am for having been a part of this show and having been on here and met everybody, and met not just you guys, like the listeners, like random people I didn't even know would walk up to me and be like, "Hey man, you know, when you talked about being a lonely neckbeard on Monday Night Magic, like I felt that. Thank you for that. That really helped me out." And I'm still awestruck by the sheer number of people who, like, when we go to events and stuff, and it'll just be me and Chewy hanging around, and they'll come up and they'll see Chewy, and then they'll be like, "Hey, you're Jack." And that blows my mind, because before I started this show, I never had that element in my life, and it's different and it's good. And being on this show has taught me not only to love people and to love the people I interact with and the people I work with, but to love myself as well. And I don't really know where I would be if I hadn't been on here. So, thank you guys for putting up with me this long and for befriending me and giving me a chance. It's meant a lot more than probably any of you realize. So I love you guys. I swore I wasn't going to get emotional, but thank you very, very much for letting me rant there.
Now, Jack, you can still play casual in EDH, right?
Yeah, just casual in EDH, though.
Nothing's really different.
Yeah, like the contract they actually made me sign to go work for these people, they're like, "Well, you know, you can't be doing this or that." And I was like, "Yeah, well, that doesn't really affect me." And they were like, "Oh, okay. Well, then, you know, just remember that when next time you go to your game store." And I was like, "Yeah, okay. Yes, sir. I'll do that." So, I mean, you're still going to hear me ranting about Commander. You're still going to hear me ranting about, you know, cool formats like Tiny Leaders and stuff like that. It's just going to be a long time before you probably see me on this microphone or see me anywhere in a constructed event. And that's pretty much all I can leave it at.
Well, that's cool. We'll have to hopefully be able to meet up at the GP in Charlotte or something.
Oh, we are absolutely going to meet up. And I've decided that I got to make a vacation out of this thing, because after I go to work for these guys, it's going to be nothing but like writing and advertising, and I'm going to need to be around real people again. So you guys will definitely see me in Charlotte. No problem.
Party on, sir.
Party on.
Yeah, I was talking to... Who was that? Don't talk to me while I'm podcasting. Go away. You distracted me. That was not a listener. That was a random friend of mine. I was talking to Mr. Roskam earlier, who is a writer on Bro Deals and has the Higher Standards podcast now. And we brought him on to Monday Night Magic as part of the Christmas cast. God help us all. And he said, you know, I'm going to miss Jack. And I was like, yeah, me too. He goes, yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't be writing or have a podcast or any of that if Jack hadn't been on Monday Night Magic, because you made that plea to help get Bro Deals get started again. And he goes, you know what? I can do that. And that's why he's there. And now that's why he does all that other stuff. So.
Yeah. And see, it's really weird to me because, like, as the years kind of went on and I got into a position, I don't want to say a position of influence because, like, guys, here's the thing about, like, podcasts and your Nerdy and Magic content production. None of us are actually any better than you. Like, we're all just normal people who started out doing this because we really, really love talking to one another and we really, really love magic. And that's how things got started.
Unless you're an ass, in which case we might be better than you.
Yeah, I mean, totally, but, you know, those guys are asses, so what do we care?
Clues works with Skynet, so he might be better than a lot of us, but...
Clues is definitely better than a lot of us because his job is freaking amazing. Like, as cool as this job is that I got, Clues is so much more amazing. But, you know,
he actually
all
maintains suddenly, death satellites. It's impressive.
No comment. Totally no comment.
But like I've had so many people come up to me and either they were like, yeah, you know, you gave my article a chance on Bro Deals and like that meant a lot to me, or like just random people being like, hey, you know, Monday Night Magic encouraged me to actually go out and start my own thing. Like that just it blows my mind. But I think if anything, like that's kind of the point I want to drive home here by leaving too, is, you know, this is an opportunity that anybody can take. And the people who are listening to this and the people who have helped me and helped the community and everything all these years, like, you guys are passionate and you are driven and you are good people. And you can take anything that happens and apply it to, like, podcasting or article and content production. And I honestly think you would be shocked by the good that it does for you. Because despite all my qualms about this community, despite all the complaints I've ever had about it, at the end of the day, like, the magic community is, in my honest opinion, it's inherently composed of very good, well-mannered, heartfelt people. And it's amazing how much this community reaches out and tries to help people. And I mean, you know, I'm just a schmuck that had a microphone, okay? But there's been other times, like, people who actually really needed help that got it in this community. And that's mind blowing. We have a beautiful thing right here. And, you know, don't be like I was at first. Like, throw yourself into it and love it and be as much a part of it as you want to be. Because I promise you, it's going to be a rewarding experience.
Just don't do it for the fame, glory, and money, because...
Yeah, because no. There's none. I mean, like, I'm a rare instance in this case that I actually got a job up off this podcast. But, like, still, like, it's don't do it for the money, do it because you love it. Because if you're not doing it because you love it, then why the hell are you here?
Yeah, I mean, as far as I'm aware, I'm the only one that Chewy is actually paying to be here. So don't do that. The odds are bad.
Yeah, but you're not getting paid in money.
Well, yeah, don't do it. The odds are bad.
Well, guys, I love you guys. I'm going to miss each and every one of you.
Well, as Clues pointed out before we started recording, it's not like you're dying.
I know, but like, still, like, and see, this is the part that kills me. Like, if I could, I'd still be doing this show. I absolutely would still be doing this show because even with all the crap and the random people we've had to deal with, I enjoy talking to you three. And the random people we bring on every week, like it's fun and it's never stopped being fun. And that's really what chokes me up about this whole thing. But I mean, you know, guys, eventually when the contract inevitably is going to expire, I'll be back. And I don't know exactly when that's going to be, but I want you guys to that I'm not leaving you guys behind. Oh, speaking of which.
Uh-oh.
I've been thinking about this all week long because I wanted to leave you guys with something more than just emotional speeches, okay?
Did you bring bedbugs?
No. Much, much better than bedbugs.
Oh, good.
Gentlemen, before I leave the chair open for the possibility of anybody else to come on, and I encourage you guys to pick out somebody else to fill the spot. Give somebody who needs a chance, just like me, okay? But that being said, I have gifts for each of you.
Are you ready for this?
I don't think we are.
Okay, guys.
Do we need to stop recording? Because I'm afraid.
No. Just open up and reach into my sack. Okay? Reach in there, Chewie. You're going to be first, okay? Reach in there. What do you pull out?
Hang on.
Do you like it?
Baby.
Okay. So, Chewie, to you, I give my golden microphone of audio excellence. May you never know a censor, and may you never be afraid to speak your mind.
What? But there's no swearing on
All right, clues, come up here and reach into my sack.
I'm afraid I'm not really worthy of. I can't do
this
that.
Does not count as harassment under the MTG Cast contractual obligation. So please reach into my sack, clues. Just humor me.
It's true. He did say please. So. It's not harassment.
Okay, so clues to you. I give my vaporizer of clarity. For those rare moments at a tournament when you almost feel like you might go on a homicidal rampage with the rulings that you have to give out, give you a moment.
I'll say that those moments are rare, not unheard of, but rare.
Well, all
I
the
do
same.
Like how now, that looks like a sonic screwdriver. That's really impressive.
Yeah,
actually.
There you go. Yeah, you can pretend you're Doctor Who. There you go. Bam.
Pretend.
And Bill, though you were last, you're by no means the least of receiving of my gifts. Reach into my sack.
But the third one's always the plot twist.
No. The third one's also sometimes the best gift in secret. So just reach in there really deep. Okay?
I better not get courage because I don't want that.
Oh, now I'm sad because Bill, to you, I give my unflinching sense of persistence. Though you are already a goblin by nature and cannot die, may you never know any fear or cowardice in the sense of your endeavors.
I will do my best to whisper and leave voicemails for people until I am on every podcast.
There you go. Bam. Done. All right. You actually remembered the voicemails? Wow. Holy crap. I thought
that's how you got
everybody
started, buddy.
It is. I didn't know because like Eric from St. Louis isn't here anymore. So that literally makes you the only person who remembers it. Wow. No, awesome.
I mean, I've been listening longer than you've been here.
Well, guys, my sack is thus empty. My emotions are drained. I love you guys. I'm going to miss you yet again. Until the day we ride united, because you know there was actually four musketeers, right?
Well, yeah, well, if you count D'Artagnan, but he was a little bitch. I mean, what?
Oh, that gold microphone's coming in handy already. Good.
I noticed that.
So it begins.
Well, Jack, it has been an absolute pleasure recording with you. And I do mean that. Your perspective was always unique.
You're too polite for your own good sometimes, and that's why I love you, Clues.
I will continue to very hesitantly click on your name on Twitter to see what the context is, because I'm far too afraid to follow you and check Twitter at work.
I followed Jack for like 2 days, and then I'm like, nope, can't do it.
I will happily click on context links and all of that. However, I had to take you off the list when I started checking Twitter at work, and I don't regret that choice.
You're the first person to tell me that. Like, yeah, while I'm handing out emotional things here to anybody I have gotten fired over the last 2 years with the porn that I put up, I really apologize for that. I'm not going to stop though. Sorry. I like curvaceous women too much, or Rubenesque women, as the guy who does Dusters put it. There we go. Rubenesque.
Mox Ruby, you heard it here, folks.
Ruben Bresler-esque. Wait, so you like skinny Jewish women? What?
Yeah, everyone has a type. Everyone has a type. But yeah, like you're still going to be on Twitter, still going to message, still see you at events. It'll be great. So
yeah, at the risk of sounding cliche, Jack, although we've finished this chapter of your life, your book is not yet over. So I'm sure we will see great things from you.
Wow. That was pretty cliche.
No, that's awesome, dude. I'm super flustered right now, so I'm running out of things to say. Thank you guys so much. This last show has been really awesome.
I know it, whatever I say is just going to make Jack cry, and I don't want to do
that. Yeah, don't do that. That's bad audio.
I still have your freaking phone number, though, so I don't even care.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And as you've proven, you're not afraid to stuff that phone anywhere in your pants, so we're good to go.
And that was just earlier today.
How's the toe?
It eventually, after a long time, stopped hurting.
Oh, good man. Good man.
So I was trying to send Jack a message about his last show tonight, and I got up to go get food, and I took the phone with me, and my jammy pants that I was wearing did not have pockets, so I stuck it in the waistband of my pants, and when I reached up into the cabinet, it slid out and rocketed down my leg and landed square, like the corner of this iPhone, on my second toe, on my left foot, And Jack had asked me like a serious question, and there was this extended delay without an answer because I was screaming obscenities in the middle of my kitchen and hopping on one foot. And I was really afraid that Jack would think that I was being a jerk or something.
No, I gotta say, that is not where I expected this story to be going. I was pretty sure that you had accidentally texted Jack a picture.
I'm just glad that I wasn't even in the room, and I was still making Chewie's life miserable. Like, that, my trolling capabilities are amazing.
Oh, it hurts so bad. This is the same phone that refused to take a picture of Jack, so.
that was special. It's all come full circle, finally. It's all come full circle, finally, then, Chewie.
I tried to get a picture of him. Phone's like, what? No.
Like, four times.
The one time it snapped the picture was the time Jack's face was not in frame.
And now all the hell I post is selfies. How about, man, I have come a long way. Jesus.
You have.
I used to be afraid to show people my face.
Next thing you know, you're going to be using a different name.
I'm going to be featured on some very popular websites, yeah.
Slammer. I mean, what?
No. They didn't let you like my picture for that one either. I don't know.
It's because they couldn't take it.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Oh, man.
So I guess with that, you can still send all of your hate mail forever to jack@mtgcast.com.
Oh, this please do. And I will, you know what? For the next week only, I'll actually respond.
Ooh. Temper.
There you go.
Steve, now's your chance.
Get off the bus, Steve.
I'm going to get an email in all caps. It's like, I actually own a car now. Thanks.
Steve on the bus. Thanks to you, Jack Lacroix. Thanks to Jack Antonio Sabato de la Hoya.
King Kong
Bundy LaCroix.
And I get mail. I've gotten physical mail with the complete name in it. That's awesome.
Whoa.
That's like another your address.
Some. You know, like some large companies that may or may not produce things that a segment of this audience enjoys. I guess if we're handing out information, yeah, send me all your emails, your hate mail, your love mail, your nudes, whatever, to jack@mtgcast.com. You can still follow me on Twitter @JackLacroix. And, ladies and gentlemen, you should go check out mtgbrodeals.com, where there's going to be the finest and original media content production since 2012. Because while the world may have tried to end, we did not. And also, you may still hear me on another podcast. You know, like with the way this contract's working, nothing's absolutely certain, and I kind of have to do a big go around to get the okay for things. So we'll see. We'll see.
Fair enough. So then, how about the rest of yous? Like Bill. All
right. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter @SqueeGoblinAbob. There's no I in Goblin because Jack took it with him. And you'll also be able to really, that's it, actually. That's about the best way to find me. If you go to GP Charlotte and you're planning ahead by like 5 months, good job. I'll probably see you there. And I'll be like, what modern? No understand. And then I'll probably run a standard deck and lose. It'll be great.
Wait, when is that? May? June?
June?
Okay.
Like, May is the Vegas. I mean, TBD. I mean, Vegas.
Right.
So that is the best place to find me. I will continue to have my antics on Twitter. And then Clues goes.
All right. Well, you can find me on the Card Advantage podcast, found right here on the MTGcast network. You can find me most weeks over at Atomic Empire in Durham, North Carolina. It is a great shop. You should check it out. Hat trick. Also, we are having... Got three of them in this time. We are having our Eternal weekend this coming weekend, so if you want to come play the good formats, we totally have Legacy and Vintage going on pretty much all weekend long. If you want to contact me personally, your best bet is at LockLuze on Twitter, spelled just like it is in the show notes.
Sweet.
If I bring a Treasure Cruise this weekend, can I play it?
Yes, if you bring one and play Vintage.
Oh, that's definitely not happening. Okay.
The Vintage is unsanctioned and allows 15 proxies.
So I could proxy Treasure Cruise?
You could proxy Treasure Cruise, that's right.
Can I make it out of a mountain?
Yes. That'll be up to the head judge. You must
No. Take a Treasure Cruise, erase everything off of it, and recreate the card with crayons.
I have had people who were proxying their Black Lotus because they didn't want to bring their Alpha Black Lotus. They brought their Beta Black Lotus.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, it wouldn't want to be too baller.
I've seen that happen before. It's hilarious. The first time. And then you're like, seriously, you own two. I kind of hate you. Go sit down.
I want to shuffle your cards.
Roughly.
Lord. So I guess that leaves me. And before I give any contact information, if you backed the Manapool Kickstarter, you should have received an email about an update. If you did not, you should probably check your spam settings, because I think that Kickstarter's in there. But I have everything as far as stuff. Playmats came in, shirts came in. I do not have sleeves because of the dock workers' strike out west. My sleeves are MIA. My contact at Legion said, yeah, our container is waiting to be put on a train. Hopefully we'll have it by the end of next week, which would be this week. But honestly, we don't even know. And I said, well, balls. So I'll get sleeves whenever, I guess.
In the meantime, verify your address.
Yes, in the meantime, again, if you didn't get that update, go look for it. But you need to, if you have moved since the Kickstarter or would like it shipped somewhere else, you need to log into Kickstarter, find the Manapool backer survey, and change your address there. Don't email me your address, because there's no way that it will be found and put in the proper field in my spreadsheet manually.
Oh, you could email your address to jack@mtgcast.com, but I'm not sure that I recommend that.
Yeah, that will not work.
I will absolutely forward it
in due time. And that still won't work, so don't do that. The only way your address change will be guaranteed to work is if you change it on the backer survey, because I have it set to where those can be changed up until I am ready to ship. I'm not going to ship. This is going to sound bad, but there are logistical reasons for this. I'm not going to ship anything until I get everything, because I am terrified that I'm going to screw this up. And add-ons are actually, they were great for you guys, and they're amazing. They're a pain in my various and sundry parts to ensure that everybody gets what they ordered. So I have to make a brand new spreadsheet from scratch and manually fill it out with what everyone gets and their addresses and all that. So it's going to be a pain. So in the meantime, while I'm working on that, I'm waiting on the sleeves to get here. Once the sleeves get here and I figure out exactly how to ship everything and how many of each shipping method package or box or envelope or whatever to buy, then
container,
there we go. I'll buy all that and everything will start to go out all at once. I still need to talk to the people at the post office. But anyway,
shipping containers are really expensive.
The kind that go on big ass boats.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I've had to ship stuff to Australia and now we've got another one that's going to go to Chile soon. So. No comment. We've talked about this.
Skynet.
Hey, Clues. Comment?
Yeah. No, none.
Okay, just checking. At least Jack said please. It's not harassment. So, with that said, I have extra playmats on purpose and sleeves. So if any of you that already backed would like playmats or sleeves, that you can send me a message about, either email, Facebook, or Twitter, and we will discuss it, because I have extras of those things. So if you want some, you can PayPal me money and I will add it into your shipment. But I'm not going to sell any playmats or sleeves to anyone else until I get the backers taken care of, because again, I am terrified I'm going to screw this up, because this is a much bigger undertaking than I thought it would be. Like, I knew it would be ridiculous. No, it's way more ridiculous than that. So bear with me. But like I said, if you already backed and you want sleeves or playmat, then let me know and we'll work that out. I've actually had two people, get a playmat today. So that's cool.
Hey, Chewy.
Yeah.
If you have any extra, let me know and I'll throw money at your face. Like long distance money thrown at your face.
Nice. So you're going to like make a money paper airplane or maybe like a money bullet and just,
No. I'm going to grab a pigeon and I'm going to duct tape it to it and be like, fly free. You know where to go.
That's true. The pigeons do know where to go. We're on speaking terms.
Well, all right then.
But anyway, so yes, I will have stuff left over. I ordered extras of the sleeves and the playmats on purpose. No extra shirts because the shirts were Kickstarter exclusives. So sorry. They look so cool though. I got them out all from the shirt guy and I verified sizes and logo colors for everything and everything matches up what I ordered. So they're really nice. I like them. Yay. I hope I remembered to get one for me and the dorks. Like, I really hope I remember to do that.
That would be awkward.
That's okay. My shirt guy will do them again. He's cool like that. But anyway. So, with that, if you would like to email me, the easiest way to do it is Chewy, that's C-H-E-W-I-E, at mtgcast.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter at TheManipool. And you can see all the other stuff I do over on TheManipool.com, which has been a little bit not so much lately, but I am working on that. I have, like, 1, 2, 3 things that I'm actively working on. Right, well, not right now, but 3 things that I'm actively working on with, like, 1, 2, 4 more things that are running around the back of my head, so.
There are things in planning. I've heard them.
He has, yeah. So, yay! That's all awesome. And, Jack, we love you.
I love you guys, too, a lot. And I'm definitely going to miss being here.
And this episode has gone on long enough, so. This has been episode 447. Clues, you didn't come up with a 447 thing.
No, I didn't. Okay. I have reasons for that.
Skynet?
Reasons.
Skynet.
Skynet!
Oh, wait, no comment. Sorry. Yeah, so this has been episode 447 here on MTGcast. Oh, I didn't do New Podcaster Month, or I didn't do the New Podcaster this week for 2 reasons. One, the guy that I invited on was like, hey, we can't do it this week because we have to record our show at the same time because of special guest. And I said, well, that's fine because I was going to tell you to piss off this week anyway, because it's Jack's last show and I didn't want Jack's last show to have a guest to host. That's just weird.
That's a very potent microphone you gave him.
So what'd I say? Oh God, what'd I say? Do I need to edit something? Oh, we'll talk later.
No. You're good, Chewy. Leave it in. Oh, leave it okay. In. My last will and testament to you as a podcast. On my deathbed, my want the words on my tombstone to be, leave it in.
Gotcha. Okay. That is what... No, never mind.
That cannot be said on Monday Night
no,
Magic.
No, not at all.
Golden microphone.
So, thank you all. I hit puberty right there. Thank you all very much for listening. And go play some Magic.
Later, guys.